This episode of Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers, with info on over 50,000 console, handheld, iOS, and PC games. Get the Gamefly app for free today on your iPhone, iPad, and Android devices.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Weekend Confirmed.
Ignition. Liftoff. Liftoff.
I feel like here my lyrical skills is on feature, you know, but I'm just a humble creature because right over here is Jeff Cannata. He's the teacher.
What am I?
It's already gone off the rails. We've already gone off the rails.
That's a good rhyme.
Good job, though. Are you continuing?
Preach to me, brother. You laid it down last time, like you dropped it like nobody's business.
You dropped it like
because I was in the big chair, the big boy chair.
You still have the big boy chair.
No, not anymore.
And the beautiful hair, and all kinds of flair. Woo! I would not even dare to impose upon you.
Well, we have some very beautiful ladies up in the house tonight.
We do.
It is a Valentine's Day episode
of Weekend Confirmed.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and introduce them?
You're back.
Rhyme.
See, I think that those rumors that there was no scripting. Well, you know what they say about tumors.
Jesus Christ. What rhymes with malignant?
Everyone has already turned off this podcast. Everyone has turned it off.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Anyway, thanks for joining us this Weekend Confirmed, and we are here for an awesome episode. We have the Valentine's Day special. We have your questions about video game or dating, which we are going to treat with the utmost of respect. And I actually mean that seriously. It's not going to go off the rails.
Super serious.
Are you sure? It's
not going to go off the rails too badly.
Okay.
It's not going to go off the rails nearly as bad as, I don't know, Aliens Colonial Marines did.
You guys, give it a chance.
So
we got chicks and dicks.
We're throwing the bar down right now. It's like right there. That's the bar. Anyway, I'm Garnet Lee. Joining me today, Mr. Jeff Cannata.
Yes.
Who is not rhyming at all. It's like, where's the skills?
To pay the bills.
You guys, I'm not your monkey. I'm not going to dance.
Dance monkey.
Fine. I see. This is the no frills edition.
I'll dance a little. Now, yeah. Well, obviously people are hearing this after Valentine's Day, but it's Valentine's Day for us.
It's our Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day somewhere. No,
and
The lovely Nicole Zavalich is here.
Hello. Yay.
Rhyme something with Zavalich.
I want a sandwich.
All right. I'll take it.
My very, very lovely significant other, Ariel Angelotti.
Hey, Yeezy listeners.
Wow.
How are you doing out there tonight?
And try to
you called them easy listeners.
I know.
Because you were doing an easy listening station. And they are now called easy listeners.
See, you got that. I've just been listening to a lot of Phil Collins lately.
Me too!
In and outside of Dead Space 3 commercials.
Genesis all day, every day.
You've been like, it's no fun being a legal alien, right? That's the song you've been listening to?
Aliens got an invisible touch, yeah?
No, it's mostly Against All Odds. Yeah, and the Dead Space 3, yeah.
So rhyme something with Angelotti. That doesn't
include... That
isn't enough.
Potty's good, though.
Actually, I think Ariel would be something better to rhyme.
Ariel?
No. Give that a try.
I don't know. You have...
Cariel Cabinet?
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a thing, I think.
Oh, dang.
Wow.
I don't know.
All right, so here's what we got coming up. We have your questions as submitted. Actually, you guys actually did a really good job. I was impressed. I kind of thought there'd be like... How do I totally get a cool girl who plays games to come home and have sex with me? But we didn't get that question.
We didn't include that question.
We can't answer that question.
What, you don't know?
No.
It's really not that hard. You'll figure it out one day. Don't worry about it.
Maybe.
Anyway, we've got that. We have Jeff converted to Ni No Kuni. He has been brought into the fold.
I have been playing that. And also played Fire Emblem.
And some Fire Emblems.
So I know that there's people... Freaking won't shut up about the 3DS.
Yeah, and you're turning Japanese, actually.
I really think so.
Yeah.
We have ventured into LV-426, or, you know, if you're Adam Sessler, 427, 220, 221, whatever it takes. You guys dogging him for, like, making that mistake in the middle of his review. Like, you should let that review is excellent. It's really, I think he actually has the best most even-handed review of this game. I'm going to try not too hard to... I'm going to try not to fall off too far into the pit of eternal despair of Aliens.
It sounds positive.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I had high hopes for it. Admittedly, though, somebody's got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Gearbox.
No, that's not what I meant. That is not the red-haired chick that I think was meaning to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Somebody's.
Andrea's, I gotta say, I was Andrea's
gonna come in here.
The,
Andrea's gonna come in here, and she's gotta represent, right? She's gonna have to.
She's not gonna be able to. Like, even I'm on the. This is an okay game train. This is, and I'm nice. Like, I put like 6 hours into Aliens, Colonial Marines, and I can't say nice things. I'm just not gonna say mean things.
You know what? You know what she could do? She could bring
a time machine.
A couple of bottles of bourbon was actually what I was thinking.
No, time machine's first choice though.
Time machine. Possibly, although then you get all those weird, you know, like divergent timelines, and you never know which one you're going to wind up back in, right?
Is it the Back to the Future theory of time travel, or is it the Terminator theory of time travel? And it's like,
this is going to be one of those touchstone games for a long time. that's just brought up as being the train wreck game, and I think we're going to learn a lot from the misleading stuff that they were showing.
Well, that actually is very deeply concerning.
It's very strange, and it's so it's strange how obvious it is and how clear the evidence is of it and how undeniable it is. And so it's talk about some splaining to do. I think there's going to be repercussions from this, I think.
Boom, boom. Bam.
Yeah.
Shots fired.
Boom, boom. That was a long
shots fired.
You see those side-by-side videos, you watch the demo that with commentary that they were, you know, released to the public.
So let's hold Aliens because I don't know. Right. Aliens is Nicole's thing, and remember we have segments.
Dude,
now.
It's my thing.
Copier. And Ariel. Ariel's been playing some Japanese role playing games. She played Star
it's
Ocean.
It's a singular. Yeah. Keep it singular. Star Ocean the last
time.
Star
ahead of
Ocean.
She played Star Ocean. Now she's playing Assassin's Creed 3. And she can't remember what she played in front of Star Ocean. So it was really excellent. It was an awesome game. Left a lasting impression. Very solid.
Memory.
Good game. Excellent game.
I should go back and check my Twitter feed or something. I'm like, what did I play?
I just can't remember.
I can't. I feel like I've played so many games.
Hmm.
It's okay. Give me some time.
Thank you.
So I haven't actually been able to turn off Ni No Kuni, and that's what I want to start us off with, is how good Ni No Kuni continues to be now about 20 hours into it. And so the number one complaint I've seen from folks out there who played Ni No Kuni is about the grinding piece. And here's the thing about Ni No Kuni, and Jeff, this is an admonishment for you who seems to be enjoying it a lot, is that it is a game that embodies some of those old school elements along the lines of Dragon Quest.
Oh, it definitely is old school.
Right. So it has, you know, this really nice, well integrated bounty and hunt system. So there's bounties, and the bounties are simple things. They're just tasks that you go out and do. You go talk to someone, and sometimes it's as simple as go find these three things around the city. Or sometimes it'll be go get me this and this and I can make something for you, which is almost sort of MMO-ish. And then there are also hunts. And the hunts are for, of course, the notorious mobs, monsters. And then you can go out and get those notorious monsters, kill them, come back, and you're filling up your stamp cards and earning bonus points. And the idea being that as you venture through the world and go into each of the areas that you're going to adventure in, if you do those things, where there's even like the hunt center, like it's like going to a shop. You can go to a shop, you can go to the armory, or you can go to the hunt center. And as long as you're doing those things, you will stay in pace. And the one thing I've seen is that people who are critical pathing and ignoring that, they get ahead. You know, even just like one story beat, they're like, oh my God, I have to grind. And I sympathize because we were talking about this while we were at dinner. It's like, yeah, you know what? If you move forward, it would be nice to be able to move forward and not have to do the side quests if you just want to do the story. But that's not the way this game is designed. And I don't know how you design a game where you have a story progression and a world progression that work side by side and not have your leveling mechanic built to it.
Well, you do it by adjusting the monster levels to where you are, a la Skyrim
sliding scale.
And...
sliding scale monsters. In other words, like they always adjust. I know what there are problems.
Make it dynamic instead.
There are problems
fixed.
That happen with that too, right?
Because, sure, of course there is.
Because then you can be facing a really. If you're just critical pathing, then by the time you get to the end, you're facing these badass, supposedly, monsters. But they're still sort of like middle level or whatever because you didn't level them up.
Right. And also the classic problem with that is you always feel about the same amount of challenge wherever you go. No matter mm-hmm. where you go, there you are, the same amount of challenged. Instead of...
As Bilbo would say.
Right. Instead of, approaching something that is beyond you and working up to it or being beyond something that you can just stomp because you've progressed past it and that real feeling of a progression rather than sort of like, it's always just the status quo wherever I go.
And the other element of note out of Ni No Kuni, this is another admonishment for you, is it actually requires you to build some dexterity skills to play the combat system well.
Are you
and
saying admonishment because I need to be admonished?
I want you to be steeled to enjoy this game for maximum fulfillment.
Okay. So yeah, I think you need a different word there. But that's okay. We'll move on.
Did I use the wrong word?
Yeah. Admonishment is like scolding.
Oh, no, I don't want to scold you.
Okay.
I don't mean to scold you at all. I
might
spank
sure?
you later.
Yeah,
I might spank him later, but I'm not going to scold him.
Because we need some more homoeroticism in this show. That's what we really
need. It's a note we've gotten, and I think that it's about time we address it.
I will say, in a response to a potential admonishment, that I am mea culpa on the fact that I should have got this game right when it was released because I was excited for it and then I somehow allowed myself to feel
it.
Like I'm already loving it. That's what I'm saying. Mea culpa, I love it. It's awesome. I'm playing it for fun. Can I go on a tiny little rant?
Sure.
Because as old school as this game is, as Japanese RPG as it is and all that, all its glory, and I love me some Japanese role-playing games, we need to seriously get rid of some of the vestiges of that.
What do you want to get rid of?
Tiny details that I don't understand why we're still clinging on to that make the game less fun.
Okay, explain.
You mean like the little things like the little pieces of toilet paper?
Toilet paper's number one, actually.
Yeah. Like the fact that there should never ever be another game that's made for people that
exactly. No more games for people.
Where the text comes up one letter at a time.
Oh.
And if again, fucking eliminate that. Eliminate
it. Speed it up?
Yes, you can. There's a slider in the menu. And if I take that slider and I move it all the way to the right to the fastest setting, it better all come up at once. Because when I do that in Ni No Kuni and I move it all the way to the right to the fastest, I want that shit fast, I'm saying to the game. Let me slide. Is there any more to the right I can slide it? No? Oh, okay. The most far right I've gotten it. That's probably going to be instantly displayed.
So you
well,
finish
no,
really fast.
It turns out it's not. It still goes slightly fucking faster than it did 4 seconds ago. And I read above a third grade reading level. I don't need you to spell out each word as it comes up. I can read it all in one chunk when it's two fucking sentences of text.
Jeff, you
sorry.
You
he's can, spitting a little. He's so into this.
You can tap X again and it all.
Why do I have to tap X twice? Why should I have to tap X twice? Seriously. I know everyone's going to make fun of me for fucking getting pissed off at this, but it's stupid.
No, it's valid.
Okay.
It's not
point
valid.
Number two, and it's a subset
it's a little
of point
ranty.
Number A.
For the sake of keeping the combo going.
He's about to explode.
In a game, no, I love this game. I love
no,
it.
No, we can tell.
But in a game that's going to take tens of hours of my time, dozens of hours, and in that dozens of hours, I am going to be facing hundreds of monsters and doing the same combat hundreds of times, why in a Japanese role-playing game do I have to have the results of my XP and gold displayed to me in such a slow, mind-numbingly bizarre way? Why do I have to go to a scene and it goes, XP, tick, 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 tick,
again,
gold.
If you tap it.
Why? Why do I have to do that?
just
what
tap it.
What person doesn't want that information to come up fast?
Jeff,
is there a single person that wants that information to come up slow?
Just tap that.
I don't want to.
Just tap that, yo.
I want to know why that information needs to come up slowly on my screen.
Just tap
who wants
that
it slow?
Button.
Why do you need to? Why should they just not assume that everybody's pushing the button because everybody's pushing it? All right, I'm done. I'm done.
Wow.
I apologize to everyone who doesn't like my yelling, but I feel passionately about it.
I think what you're bringing
up comes from a real place.
I think what you're bringing up is sort of indicative of the fact that they're trying to appeal to a younger audience with this game. And so Garnet's shaking his head right now And the thing is, the combat system is extremely complex, but the presentation of the game definitely appeals to younger audiences.
So do you really think it's complex, or do you think it's just like intricate? I'm not sure it's complex, because
I think that's just a semantic argument.
Okay. Because complexity to me implies that there are a number of subsets that you have to reason out how to use. And in this game, it's more a matter of so the combat, as you'll find at about 10 to 12 hours in, it really reveals itself to be a very, very good Pokemon-like simulator.
Yeah, because when you hop in between multiple guys, setting things up.
Yeah, yeah. And you really, you'll collect a tremendous number of, for lack of a better word, I guess, familiars.
Yeah, that's
and all of your and or your pets, right? And all of these familiars, then you'll have different capabilities. There's six attributes that go to them. So you've got like
accuracy,
attack, defense, yeah. Magic attack, magic defense. Each one of them different strengths and different weaknesses, and then they also level up, and then they go through a number of forms. By the way, one thing you won't know right off the bat is there's only three levels to the form. There's like the base level, and it levels up to a second level. And then after the second level, it splits, and you have two options of, do you want to take it like down tree path one or tree path two? So that's why you might want to keep up to 300 different. You can keep 300 in your menagerie. You can keep 300 different little dudes. And you'll be swapping them in and out. And the ones that are with you will all level while you're leveling up, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure, though, that is really. To me, that's more intricate in that you have to like know, oh, I'm going to put this guy in now, and I'm going to put this guy in now, and I want to level this guy up, and I want to level this one up now, and know which ones you're using and where you're using them and why. But yeah, it's definitely – it's a system that's more complex than a
It's more complex than Pokemon.
It's more complex than on the face of it. It would appear based off the art style of the game.
Right. And also because it's sort of pseudo-real time. So you're sort of – you're always in a – you're always pressed in a time sense. You have to pull things off quickly or you won't be able to pull them
off.
Well,
and one of the things you're going to want to master, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when I was on the show before I was gone, and you have to really be ready to use your cancel, and you only get a one-time cancel per clock cycle.
Yeah.
But you have to be ready to use the cancel.
And get into a defend. Yeah. Yeah.
And I should step in and say, before I offend the Brokemon out there, that
is that a thing?
Brokemon?
We have feelings.
I think you just meant no, but you're not.
I thought it was
you're
the
not
Pokemon.
A bro. It's
no.
Like a bro. A
brony.
Brony?
It's like brony,
yeah. But it's not the Pokemon.
There's no like female equivalent.
Yeah.
Though.
Is there a
no judgment of girls liking
Brokemon Back Mountain?
There's Slash Pick out there. Look it up. Google that.
You don't want to score.
When I described Pokemon as not being as complex, what I mean is that the actual act of combat, like the turn-based combat in Pokemon,
is only for idiots.
No.
That's what you meant. Like I hear you.
Jeff Kanata, thanks everybody.
All of the stats and everything going on behind the scenes is very complex, but the actual act of like all the timing-based stuff that you have to be aware of, all of the like taking out your familiars and bringing back your familiars, and all that exchange that you're doing—it's like very fast-paced and Inokuni. And the reason we got into this whole argument was just the fact that I was saying that the presentation is it can appeal to a younger audience.
Oh, it definitely does.
That it's like when the game's explaining the systems to begin with, it's like, let's explain this system like 10 different ways so that we make sure this person understands how to play this.
But it is so well written also.
Oh,
it is
the localization.
Yes.
I am.
And the voice acting is stunning.
Everything about
like,
it.
Like, I just want to hear, Drippy. I want to hear him talk. Like,
flipping.
It's not just the fact that he does an awesome, you know, Scottish brogue, but that the way he rushes through certain phrases, and it's a masterful performance.
Except he says flippin' more than half the bridge crew of the Battlestar Galactica says frackin'. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, but
it's awesome and charming.
It's great.
I don't want to think about how much money their localization costs for like
getting a year on it.
Yeah, it took a long time for a reason.
I hope the game is doing very well because it's beautiful to look at. It's wonderful to watch and listen to. And yeah, I mean, as much as I love that Studio Ghibli animation, 2D animation, which I do and I adore it anytime it pops into that, I almost prefer the 3D rendered cutscenes. I mean, not rendered, but you know, the like in-engine cutscenes, because they nail that art style so well in digital form that it's wonderful to watch that. It's such a great
game. There's very little transition between the pieces that are dedicated rendered scenes and those that are inside the game engine.
Right. Yeah.
There's very little transition between it, which is really a testament to how good this game engine looks.
And everything looks painted and beautiful. I mean, even the overmap is just gorgeous.
I think you'll continue to love it. Just do stick with it. There's a long delay to getting to the ship that lets you have access to the overworld. Mm. But once you do, it's very well worth it. And I just think that it's just an exceedingly well put together game that it definitely still offers a challenge at a higher. I don't want to say adult because, I mean, obviously anyone could play a game, but at a higher level than the looks of the game would deceive you to believe. There's a lot there.
Yeah. I never discounted it based on the looks because I love that art style and I love that studio. But so many role-playing games of that kind, it's sad to say, are just really poorly written. And it's the truth.
They're Enter not, Star Ocean.
Yeah.
Last Hope.
Or, you know, I could list off six or seven.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Like, here's the highest compliment I can pay it is that this game is so keeping me wanting to go home and play it again.
Yeah.
20 hours in, that I'm really impressed. I mean, usually, like, look, even if you're a good fan of a Japanese role-playing game, there are ebbs and flows in their pacing. And typically you find spots where you're like, okay, I just need to power through this part because then I'm going to get on to the next spot and it'll pick me up again. I think actually Xenoblade was probably the biggest struggle I've watched Ariel play a number of these games too. And Xenoblade, there were definitely some parts where I was like, I don't know if she's going to make it through this lull. There were some low spots where I wasn't sure you were going to make it through that.
There were some dark times with those games.
There were some dark times there.
Dark times in my entertainment.
Yeah, I wanted to throw in the towel at about hour 60-something.
Jesus.
And it took me 25 additional hours that to get through it all.
Wow. But you know what I'm saying? Is like there's definite ebb and flows to these games. And I'm really impressed by how the designers laid out this game. If you're playing the hunts and the tasks, and then it all really comes together, and there's like a really delightful sense of like being in the world and being part of the world, and then advancing the story, and then being in the world and being part of the world, and then advancing the story.
And I'm really digging it, and I'm very early, and I'm waiting. I'm excited for what you describe as the combat system really coming together. Because at this point, as interesting as the combat system is, it really makes me long for a new Grandia.
Oh, my God.
That has the best combat system.
That? Agreed.
Grandia 2 has the best combat system.
Oh, my God. Agreed.
Yeah. And as much as I dig, you know, I really dug Final Fantasy XIII's combat system. I really dig these interesting combat systems that are sort of blending in real-time elements and stuff and timing-based stuff. Grandia was so much fun. When you know, working that timeline and interrupts and all that stuff, somebody needs to make that game. So right now. Yeah.
So it's not Grandia, but I haven't played this, but I heard the third Penny Arcade game is essentially based on the Grandia battle system.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And I played the first two games and I enjoyed those, but that they completely revamped the combat system when the developers changed.
All right, y'all, Valentine's Day special. Let's launch into some of these Gamer Day dating questions. First one I'm going to throw at you is this one from @DonaldMick on Twitter, who asks, if the person you're dating has a bigger backlog than you, do you propose on the spot or wait until dinner?
That's an adorable question.
That's not a real question.
Never
happened. That's a real question. That's a real
question that only works if it's a guy asking the question, right?
Well, I don't know. So, hey, why not Sadie Hawkins?
Ladies
modern
propose.
Era.
Yeah, but I wouldn't propose simply based on the fact that you play more games than me. And I play a lot of games and like a sad amount. Like I live with my parents.
Sad amount.
I don't have a job. If you played more games than me, then you're probably in a sad place.
You wrapped around from awesome to sad.
Wait, actually, we're talking about the backlog stack. So the stack would be higher if they had less time to play.
Well, I was going to say.
It's a bell curve of awesome. Oh, man, you're so. Oh, nope. That was sad. Got sad again.
Holy God, size. Vitamin B is great.
I was going to say a backlog can be indicative of commitment problems because you purchased that game.
Yeah.
You purchased that game.
Bad financial choices.
Very feminine point of view.
Up
they judge everything.
By the way, I'd like to point out that she keeps a backlog stack on our coffee table.
Do you really? Do you like rank them as like what you're going to play next?
I don't rank them, but I definitely pull them out and put them on there to make sure that like, okay, next up.
They're in your mind.
Next up, I'm going to be like this one out.
Do you motivate yourself to play the current one because you're so excited about the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I am with books. That's true. I
that
am.
Is funny.
I know. Right, so, I'm even nerdier than you guys.
Let's do some couples therapy. So, dear, tell me about this then. So, you know, I've had a long-standing history of backlog piles. As a matter of fact, Once Upon a Day coined the pile of shame. We have the very awesome Squadron of Shame who took up that mantle and have like gone on to do that. Here's my problem is that I'm always consuming the next new game. And
oh, yeah. Well, that's your job.
I almost never get to my pile of shame, and it's insanely frustrating. But so what does that mean about my
It means
status.
You have to play new games a lot of time for your job so you can come on the show and talk about them so I don't judge you for it.
Justified.
That's a supportive girlfriend, like, y'all.
Yeah, guys. This is the truth. All you easy listeners out there. That's a little weird.
No,
I
like good.
I was
little,
into that one.
It's a little throaty, but we'll hang with it.
I mean, I know some of you kid him for not finishing games ever, but the truth is he does, and if he doesn't, it's because he always has to play new games, and there's not enough time in the world for him to get through all the games.
Or because it's Aliens Colonial Marines.
Or that.
It's not that long of a game, man.
So sometimes the games just are bad, or maybe, I mean, I've walked away from games before because there was just a lull that I, yeah.
What did you walk away from?
Remember, I walked away from Shin Megami Tensei. Yeah, I walked away from.
It was 1987.
The second one. It was the one that was like
Devil Summoner 2.
I played the Japanese version.
It was
the
raining.
Japanese version, I think, had a different name, but it was the one where they were like, there was the part one and a part two, and I got all the way through part one and really enjoyed it, and I got like to the very end of the second game and never.
It's haunted you since, hasn't it? Love it.
I think about it from time to time.
It's a totally random question, but is there a record for longest video game campaign? It's like, does a game have that record?
Well, God, it must be Oblivion or Skyrim,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, what do you mean by campaign? Like,
do you only
consider so many
side missions?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, then you have MMOs where, like, you can never stop.
It's true. That was a dumb question.
No, it was
all right,
it was a
I'm going to leave
question.
You with this thought as we go to break. Schwabdizzle, at Schwabdizzle, says...
Charles Schwab when he's
right.
getting all crazy.
Great investor.
Yeah, great investor, even greater dancer.
And here's your love advice, says, I told my fiancé before we started dating that I'm a gamer. Lay your hobby on the table. Bam.
And what did she lay on the table?
She laid on the table.
Oh, nicely done.
Stick around. We have three more segments to go. We'll be right back on the other side.
Sure, you can pay $60 if you want to play a video game. But what if you want to play all the latest video games? Try Gamefly.com, the number one video game rental service. Right now, you can sign up for just $5.95, their lowest price ever. Gamefly has over 8,000 titles, including the hottest new releases like DMC Devil May Cry, The Walking Dead, and Hitman Absolution. And here's how easy it is. Just sign up, select your games, and Gamefly will ship them directly to your door. You can keep the games as long as you want, there are no late fees, and you can cancel at any time. Once you're done playing a game, send it back, and Gamefly will send you the next available game on your list. Now, you can also play hundreds of PC games with Gamefly's new Unlimited PC Play, which is free for members. Gamefly also saves you money by letting you try your favorite games before buying them. If you really like the game you're playing, simply click Keep It on the Gamefly website, and it's yours at a deeply discounted price. And if you're still unsure, which you shouldn't be at this point, but if you're still unsure, we're offering our listeners a special offer. This is just for Weekend Confirmers. Go to gamefly.com/weekendconfirmed for an extended 15-day free trial. That's gamefly.com/weekendconfirmed and sign up today.
All right, Confirmers. EJ Sponge 61 needs our help.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it needs our help, seriously. By the way, I was at DICE last week. We should talk about some DICE stuff. But
yeah.
We got to help EJ
I expected
Sponge
you to.
61. EJ Sponge 61 says, I'm stuck in the friend zone. Finally told her I like her today. She says she needs to think about it.
Not a good sign.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Not a good sign.
It's tough.
I don't know about you, Nicole, but...
Pessimists, all of
when
you.
When I was growing Realists. Up... I was always huge into games, and I was a tomboy totally until probably junior high school, and I had so many guy friends that I had so many guys that I was in the friend zone with, and I would always have a crush on one of my guy friends, and they never liked me back. I was always in that zone. Like, were you there ever?
Well, I always felt like I always put my guy friends in the friend zone right away, and then once, because I wanted to talk games and I wanted to be friends with them before I thought about anything romantic. And so once I put them there, I couldn't get them back out.
Yeah, and it's like, why do you not like me? Why do you not like me like that?
I like you.
Sorry. EJ, don't listen to that shit.
No,
EJ.
But I mean, a
no,
girl,
you should listen to that shit.
No,
girl
don't listen
knows.
To that. No.
Here's the
why,
thing.
Why
right
get
away.
Dash's hopes?
Here's
he
the
needs
thing.
To get his swagger on.
No,
he needs
no,
to
no.
get his swagger
he,
on.
He should probably get swaggy.
He needs to move on to another lady.
I don't think so.
Here's the thing.
I think you're giving up too early.
Me and a whole generation like me got ruined by...
Cosby Show. I just picked something.
So you put the pudding up in here.
No. We got ruined.
Like, bring me some more pudding.
By I'm movies sorry. Like Say Anything and 16 Candles and all those 80s
Peter
movies.
Peter Gabriel. Different than Phil Collins.
And that make you think that what happens is first you get in the friend zone, and then some miraculous day they realize that you were right there all the time.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
That never happens. It's only in the movies, and it's the worst thing you can ever think.
But here's the thing.
It doesn't
DJ
happen.
Sponge. Here's the
thing.
I mean,
look, we're still not friends.
don't do that. Here's the thing. Like, you should feel happy that you came out and said something.
Yeah, because, now you know.
Yeah. And
knowing's half the battle.
Now you know, and even if she sort of, like, waffles for a little while and never gives you a straight answer, at least you had the courage and came out and say that, and you will never regret that.
I think
like,
all three of y'all are full of shit.
No, looking back, I never regretted coming out and, like, telling...
I think he's awesome for coming out. I think
it's awesome, yeah.
I think, like, look,
it's good.
It's like, but you're like, just because...
Well...
Go ahead, keep going.
just because you need to think about it, like, look, you guys are, like, instantly jumping to the conclusion, like, oh, I just got to think about it, y'all. I'm going to back off. Maybe she just needed to think about it for a minute. Maybe she just needed to process the awesomeness of, like, shit, I have been hoping.
Maybe.
No. Jay,
you're
maybe.
So wrong.
You but, know what?
You couldn't be more
know.
Wrong.
Girls know. Like, we know
yes.
immediately.
It's not necessarily true.
It's not, yes.
Not
as,
that
same,
is not
same
necessarily
with guys.
True.
Same with guys. Guys,
there's
well,
a
no,
spark
not,
or there's
here's
not
the
a
thing.
Spark.
Here's the thing that,
now, that
sponge,
I agree with.
The sponge can take away from this. Here's the
absorb
thing
it, man. Absorb it.
Absorb this information, sponge. Soak it up like some sort of, I don't know, like a tablecloth or something. You know,
like
something
a
that soaks up things.
With holes in it.
Yeah.
Okay. A bounty.
Swiss
a
cheese.
Bounty paper towel.
Yeah. All right.
A quilted picker-upper.
Soak up this info. Now you know. Here's the thing that it took me so long to realize this. Girls actually like it when you tell them that you like them.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Write it down.
Amazing. You don't need to... secretly side up to them and just be near them and sort of be friendly and be hanging around until one day when you like spring it on them that you like them. You can be direct right away.
Supplies.
And everybody's happier.
But here's it doesn't always work out like that all the time. Sometimes it builds up over time.
Sure.
And you yourself might be coming to the realizations, oh, I have feelings for this person. Mm-hmm. And they're my friend. They're a close friend.
I don't think that's what happened with this guy. I'm telling you.
Why
don't
like
I don't
that?
Know. I
EJ,
don't know.
EJ, I'm the voice of reason here. Listen to me, brother. EJ, do not panic. Okay?
He's also a hopeless romantic.
Just give her a couple days. And then if like you got to set a time. Like you, I think EJ has to set a time. Now I agree that like she could
I can't
be
set a time.
She could
4:30 p.m. next Thursday.
No, it's not even next
I
Thursday.
I expect your answer promptly.
It's not even next Thursday. It's like yeah. He's got to put it to the test. Like he's got to give her time to like process it. But then after that, it's like, and then you come on again and you be like, look, girl, I'm serious about this. I really like you,
girl. I'm serious about this.
Or actually,
girl, I gave you a set time.
I have a good idea.
Not wait, a set wait. Time, but be romantic about it. Like, be
what
genuine.
You should do.
Be genuine about it, EJ. Like, be willing to like lay your shit out there on the line and
yes.
be like, yeah, I've already. Like,
I think
I already
he did
said
already.
Right,
yeah.
But right, that's like he's
got
to come back.
He got his answer.
Like,
no, he didn't get an answer.
Move?
He didn't get an answer. She was not ready to deal with that because
no,
it
she didn't want to break the poor dude's heart by
dude,
saying I don't like you.
It's hard to
are you
say.
Kidding
I
me?
Just want to be friends.
Okay, Sponge. Don't listen to Garnet.
Yeah, let's talk about games.
Don't listen to Garnet.
He did get you though.
Don't listen to me. Like me, just like you then.
What honestly, what you should do is just give a simple gesture by like going out and getting some flowers.
Yes, I
like,
agree with that. That's
just,
awesome.
Just get some flowers and
yeah, that's gonna go over real well when he strolls into
no,
junior
no.
high with some fucking flowers. How old
actually,
is
actually, yeah,
sponge?
We don't
he
know
might be
how 60. Old he is.
He's 61. He's 60. He's in the friend zone.
Hey, you guys, it's never too late to find love, okay?
He's like hanging out at the senior center and he's like.
Ourtime.com.
I mean, yo, girl,
you want some Jello?
God. See, girls love Jello.
They do. Yeah, there's always room for it.
Wait. Are they Jello jigglers? Because I could go
into back to the Cosby Show.
But after disrupting this, games. I actually think you're right. I would totally agree with you. Like,
just like
get a little flowers, do something romantic, and then like that. But you have to say like you're going to take one. Like you need to give her one chance to think about it because it might be that she needs to think about it, and then you come.
No, fuck thinking about it.
No, but she doesn't need to think about it.
She also might not just want. She might not be interested in that way. But from my experience, what's shitty for me for guys to do is that when I say I don't feel that way about you, they stop being my friend.
Well, they never wanted to be your friend.
Well, I wanted to be theirs.
Well, then you don't get to make the decision.
Well, then you're
not
a nice guy, and I don't want to date you anyway.
No. I am a nice guy because I'm not gonna let both of us live this lie.
Why can't we be
you
friends?
You think I'm a friend, and I think you're not a friend.
Why can't we be friends though?
Oh my god, I had no idea about you.
Yeah, no, they have a lot of work out.
Wow. I know you're talking about some other time.
Games. Let's get mad about something else. Aliens, Colonial Marines.
You guys have so much to work out. I don't know. So can we help you work through this?
We're probably beyond this.
I'm worried about EJ.
It's super complicated.
I'm still worried about EJ.
EJ, let us know how it goes.
Just let us know.
Tell us who is right.
Let us know how it goes and how you proceeded. Don't let it go out too long.
Del Rio knows I'm right.
Don't let that shit go.
And he won the football pool, so you know he's got knowledge.
Okay, Peanut Gallery. What do you think about Garnet's opinion? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm just gonna say
that on more than one occasion I have had some lovely times with fantastic people who like just needed a little time to like think about that shit.
All right. Can we talk about games now? Tell us.
Sometimes you're like, oh shit.
I am
really
gonna put this fucker back on track if it's the last thing I do. Okay.
So let's talk about aliens.
How much
she's twirling her hair towards you, Jeff. You know what that
hair
means.
Yeah, that I'm really into aliens. And Jonesy.
and blind xenomorphs that explode after walking the dinosaur.
Okay, so that gif that's been circulating, there's an explanation for that.
That's hilarious.
Of course
the
there is.
Is that
limited
hilarious.
Development time by developers who
okay.
give a shit.
So there's a sequence. It's actually one of the cooler sequences in the game. So semi-spoiler, you're not going to play it. You give it a shot, but you're not going to play it.
It's like there's, saying one of the... I don't want to pile on. I haven't even played it.
Be friends with people, man.
I should be friends with that game.
Dude, all I'm saying is give friendship a chance.
Why can't we be friends? I like friendship. I just want to go in. I want to want friendship. That's what I'm saying.
Then you're stuck in the friend zone.
No, but I'm not saying I don't want friendship. I'm just, let's just
friends get to go to Taco Bell, man. They have a Cool Ranch taco now. Doritos.
I saw that. Cool Ranch Dorito tacos.
Fingers crossed, Salsa Verde is next.
Okay.
Salsa Verde. Okay, so...
I'm waiting for the Taco Bell flavored Dorito Taco Bell taco.
No, that's coming though. It's coming. Okay, so back to that GIF. There's a sequence in the game where you're kind of going through this sewer area, and it's right after you've been captured and had all your weapons taken away. So you're completely defenseless, and you're walking through this area, and it's basically a xenomorph graveyard where these xenomorphs are going to die. So you're walking through slowly because they're in like this decrepit state, and so the very few that are alive won't hear you.
And they're blind.
If you move, if you're still, because they're dying. And so you're walking
and
through,
blind.
And there's all these husks. And it's actually really creepy to see xenomorph husks. And
that
so
that gif looked super creepy.
It's so I don't know why it's walking like it's doing the dinosaur dance. But like the reason it didn't see you wasn't because of bad AI, which the game also has, but it didn't see you because you're being still, because in that sequence of the game, those are like the dying xenomorphs who, if you don't make movement, they won't see you.
Or if they run into you, explode.
I'm pretty
right.
sure.
They're lambent. How there was like a crossover in the Gears of War universe, we don't ask too many questions.
It's really just a 3-step process to avoid them, right? You open the door, you get on the floor.
And then you walk the dinosaur. Don't chicka 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 don't.
Yeah, nuts. But the sad thing is that even though I think that this game is a solid 6.5,
I gave it a 0.5. That was nice.
I gave it a 0.5. That was one of the better sequences, like the being scared of not having your guns and stuff.
It's not a bad scene,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
although you cannot forget the fact that you are surrounded by. blind xenomorphs that explode if they touch you. It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. In the, you don't even let them touch you because it's really easy to avoid them, and then you turn on generators, and the generator, they're like bugs.
And they blow up.
And they like flock to the light and blow up.
Wait, wait,
so
Garnet,
dumb.
Is that more or less ridiculous than a chain whip? Or a gun
I don't see
blade.
The relevance. I don't see the relevance.
I'm just saying it's a video game.
That is more ridiculous. That is more ridiculous and out of context. Right. Especially
perhaps you haven't considered putting a chain on a whip
or a gun on a sword. Right? Gun on a sword. Brilliant, right?
Bayonetta
right.
had sword, gun boots. Gun and we
true,
accepted that.
Did. No, but it was ridiculous.
And a hair bikini.
But the whole game was
great
ridiculous.
Glasses, though.
But here's the thing. Is like we already had a established set of canon for Alien and Aliens. And this game, one of the chief complaints that I have from having played a little over a couple hours of it is that it just throws that shit under the bus and says, fuck it. I don't
well,
care.
It's not even that it says that. It's that it doesn't say a whole lot. I feel like when they, I mean, they've been trotting out this game for like 30 years now. I think six years it's been in development, according to, I guess 6 years it's been in development. We've heard about this particular iteration of it for like 3 years. I think I played it. At least the multiplayer demo out of PAX East 2 years ago. So, I mean, this game has been around for a long time, and they've mm-hmm. always been bragging about it, that it is the, it's like the spiritual successor to Aliens, and like it's canon. Like, Fox approved the script, and like it's being considered as like part of the story and will for always
Which
and forever be.
Patently, on the face of it, makes no sense within the first 30 minutes.
Why?
Because I mean, look, it's been pointed out a number of times in reviews. So I guess if you don't really know anything about Aliens, Colonial Marines, then you should move on or not read the reviews. But like, for instance, the ship is back in orbit around LV-426.
But
the
wasn't
answer,
it like kind of
like,
ambiguous?
Like,
oh, like,
did
it make
they're
it?
They're like,
did
why
not
is
make
it there? I don't know.
Gravity.
Like, you can't just answer. You can't answer major
plot
holes.
Yeah, they didn't
holes.
Really answer very many
Answering
questions.
Major plot holes with, I don't know. Because it's like, what are you, 3 years old? You're like my 3 year old niece. She's like, why? I can't do that. Why? Because it's like, what are we, 12? Right, 12 might be actually
maybe
be
they
too
outsource
mature.
The script to like little Chinese children, and you know, maybe that would make sense though.
I think to a certain extent, aside from the purists out there, some fans will be able to suspend their disbelief enough that like people, Kingdom Hearts fans aren't picking apart the fact that like you're going
what?
To
Tarzan
Port Royal
asked, and Tarzan and Clayton are talking to each other.
Okay. By the way, Kingdom Hearts, a fantasy world where a number of Disney and sacred or favorite Disney and SquareSoft
why are Sora's feet so big? It doesn't make any sense.
Come together, Aliens, a visually very similar to the movie game that's supposed to be a continuation of the series, throws everything into trash.
Of all the things wrong with Aliens, the story is not like in the top five.
Well, but I think it's in the top three.
I think it's more interesting. I think it's interesting that you are so upset about that, Garnet, because mm-hmm. it speaks to a completely different problem than what most people are complaining about with this game.
Oh, there's lots of problems going around.
No, I don't doubt that, but I think it's a more interesting approach that you're taking because there's clearly some ineptitude with the execution of the game, but you're complaining about even the basic concepts that upon which it was built. So
yeah.
Saying like, "Oh, they ran out of time," or "Oh, you know, they sort of threw things together." That is a valid complaint and seems to be, you know, it seems to be accurate in this case, but also it seems like purely on from a pitch level of saying, hey, this is going to be, as you guys keep saying, canon for Aliens. And it's really we're really picking up the torch and carrying forward that franchise. That is even a failure.
You know what? You know what? I think I'm actually glad you pointed that out because it helped me just sort of solidify some opinions about the game, which is that I think you're right. Is that it's probably more important to me. And it's more important to me because I think that my willingness to accept some of those things that I had already anticipated would be bad would have been there were it not for the fact that it's not giving me those pieces that I felt like it was going to.
Right. Its head wasn't even in the right place.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like it's not that it just failed at what it was trying to do. It's that it wasn't even trying to do the right thing.
Right. And I mean, I think of Xenomorph aliens as these incredibly fucking amazing, like ultra alien ninjas in the black come out of nowhere
and
attack
equal to
you
the predator who can hunt you down.
Right. And yet, and then like then they're running towards me with arms flailing like I don't like a Serious Sam enemy. They come at you like the enemies in Serious Sam. Like they're that ridiculously poor.
And there's that many of them. And that for me was one of the problems with the Xenomorphs was that they didn't vary too much. There was the Lambent ones and like that's how they varied from each other. And then there was like the face huggers and the chest bursters.
By the way, we're co-opting your segment. This is yours. So by the way, I'd like to hand it back to Nicole.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, everyone's opinion is valid here.
Oh.
But mostly mine. No, but that was one of my huge problems with the Xenomorphs is that instead of making them cool and like hunters and kind of taking advantage of what Xenomorphs are, which are terrifying, they kind of just said, well, we could make them cool or we could just copy paste 30 times that one we made. And so instead of making it different and a challenge, there were just 30 of them that just kept coming after you in waves. And they didn't hunt you. They didn't stalk you. They just came right at your face. Even if you were shooting, they just ran right into the bullet fire. And that was an AI issue, and it was a character design.
I mean, really,
choice.
If you think about it as a human being, one of those things should be, like, just like, I think I just peed my pants terrifying.
Well, there's a whole movie with just one of those things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
But
and immediately between alien
and a kitty, I'm just saying a cat.
Between alien and aliens, things changed a lot, and I anticipated that this game would be much more in the vein of aliens.
It isn't. It's not in the vein of any of them. I mean, I am a fan of the aliens movies and Alien singular, and in the Predator films too, which is a kind of like why I was believing in this. But the real reason I bought it was because of Gearbox, because I had trusted them so much with Borderlands 1 and 2 and that I feel like they could do a good job. And then there was this post on Reddit, I think, earlier this week. And, I mean, of course, it's an anon source. And, like, I think the username was, like, throwaway account or something. So like, we can't actually prove it was, you know, an actual developer.
Well, we have it. We have it here. Would you like to?
Yeah. So of some of the highlights of it is just that it's been in development for 6 years, had multiple major overhauls. It would be in development and then they'd stop for Borderlands 1 and then be in development and then stop for Duke Nukem, which did really well. And then they would stop and then they would do Borderlands 2. And then eventually they outsourced most of the campaign to Timegate. And then somehow it ended up where they, after multiple delays, had the game set to launch next to Borderlands 2, which obviously Gearbox couldn't allow. So then they delayed it again, and they kind of looked back to what Timegate had done because Timegate was working on the campaign, which I guess they felt the campaign wasn't the most important part because they were going to focus on Gearbox specifically was going to focus on multiplayer. But when you review a game, multiplayer is a paragraph in your campaign review. Like, so to think that they would dismiss campaign seems so bizarre to me because that's how your Metacritic score is.
I think that does harken back to the AVP game. And so the AVP
which
game,
was okay.
It was solely okay based on multiplayer. It was a multiplayer game and it was cool because you could play Predator, which had its like tech. You had Marine, who had the pulse rifle and the motion detector. And then you had the Alien, who was the like see in the dark, crawl on the wall. You had this cool balance between the three character types. And it was a good, you know, asymmetrical, balanced multiplayer shooter game. It was fun. If you haven't played AVP before, it was really fun, especially in its era. I mean, it's hard to play now because obviously the visuals have been, you know, significantly dated.
They kind of look like Aliens, Colonial Marines visuals. Oh, snap.
Which don't
and
look,
I'm the one defending
which,
it. Jeez.
Which don't look like what was shown in demos last year.
Exactly.
That's the thing that's most...
That's kind of
baffling to me.
It's a little heinous.
So what did they do? Did they make those demos specifically for conventions to get positive
or are those
previews?
Fake demos? Are those not well, even? Well, are there target videos masquerading as demos?
Yeah, that could be. And what hardware were they running those?
Yeah,
demos
I think it's a lot
on,
to do with.
Well,
hardware.
It doesn't matter. The comparison videos I saw were PCs maxed out specs.
I mean, we're so missing mirrors. Glass cracking. We're missing blood splatters.
Dynamic lighting,
shadows.
But here's the difference.
So many things.
If I'm talking about a maxed out modern game PC versus a dev station running a dev build, where I know exactly the textures I need to load in,
right,
and I know exactly the environments I need to load
and
in,
and you've only built that much of the game
Exactly.
For that exact moment.
So the pieces we're talking about, by the way, if you haven't seen this, there are YouTube videos out there, the side-by-side video that it's Eurogamer that did that, right?
Eurogamer has it. I mean, a Kotaku bunch of the blogs have embedded the YouTube video.
And it shows a very early part of... So if you're going to play the game, it's not really a spoiler concern because it shows a very early portion of the game side-by-side with a demo of the said portion from last year.
And clearly it's the same exact sequence. The same scripted moment happens. The same encounters are supposed to happen. And it is... wildly different. I mean, it's night and day.
Very visually different.
And there are moments that are not just visually different. There are sequences where, like, there's a sequence where they set up a turret and no enemies come. And in the original demo they showed is like this awesome sequence where you're shooting down aliens with the turret and there's literally, you still place the turret but no enemies come.
Well, there's a tremendous amount of incidental AI conversations that happen during the demos that really give it a lot of character that don't seem to happen that much during the game.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but did you see that the moment where, like, you pull the guy out of the thing he's stuck in, and in the demo it's like this rendered cutscene, and in the game it's just a dude flopping around and saying some lines?
It's
unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's
the one
weird.
That was most troubling to me, and this was also linked in a post on Gaff, is that there was a demo ostensibly narrated by Randy last fall in October that the whole sequence that was narrated through this demo isn't in the final version of the game.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that there are cuts and there are – I mean, having final the game, I understand how hard it is to final a game. But what he was so enthusiastic about and what he was really like into demoing and showing and talking about, and this was like – the other part is disappointing. Like, this was core canon stuff. This was them showing, like, inside the colony where all of those key moments in Aliens happened and you being back there. Not in the game.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's really surprising.
That's really disappointing.
And I, you know, clearly there was a rush to get this thing out because it had been delayed so long that there needed to be some sort of revenue.
There was legal obligations to Fox and to Sega.
Yeah. So clearly that was in play, but by all accounts, the developers knew the game was bad when they were putting it out. But
how do you pass this? Nicole and I were debating this earlier. She's like, "Well, it's all right. It's not that bad."
It's not that. It's not a broken game. The most tragic thing about this game is that it had so much potential to be so much better, and I feel like it's not fair to shit all over a game because you know it could have done better. Like,
what?
Because it's not that it was bad. I mean, it was bad.
It is bad.
That's the thing. It's not. We're not comparing it to our expectations. You're comparing it to sort of basic.
Well, basic gameplay. When I shoot, the bad guys get hit, and there's plush ammo, and there's guns, and there's cool custom. You can customize your guns, and if you're an Aliens fan, you get to shoot xenomorphs. I mean, on a very basic level, the game works. The game isn't broken. If you play a game like Lego Indiana Jones, it's a broken game, and like to me, that's a bad game.
No, that's not a bad game.
To me, it's a bad game.
Okay, well, let me present a alternative viewpoint, and you feel free to disagree, but I would say if a game is broken, it is a defective product. And I think that is not a qualitative determination. It is a binary determination. If you can't finish the game because it is broken.
Game works, yes, no.
Game works, yes, no.
Game
exactly.
They should call this name, this game, contractually obligated aliens colonial marines.
Right. But I mean, but you can
please
make
don't
a
sue us.
You can make a value judgment having played through something, and a lot of that, I mean, 99% of that is a subjective value judgment based on your experience in the marketplace with other games that are sold for the same price, and you can say that game is bad because it maybe works, but it does what it does poorly and worse than other games that are equally priced in the marketplace. And you're free to make that judgment. You don't have to give it points for not being broken. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can say these pants stay on me and they work as pants, but they're terrible pants. They're badly made pants.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so here's my extension of why these are badly made pants. It's because you start into Aliens and in the first few minutes I almost understand why Adam eventually Sessler. So if you haven't seen Sessler's review on Revision 3, you should watch it because it really does. There's a point at the beginning where you almost think there's going to be okay. because you're like you're inside a ship. You're starting to go from places that are ship-like to places that have been infested, and you're seeing the eggs, and not any of them are open yet. But then you'll see one that is open, and then you'll see people who've been infected, and you're starting to get a little bit of tension. But you know what? Within 10 minutes, or maybe within half an hour, for some reason you're fighting other humans, and that becomes part of the plot line. But here's the problem with this, is that one of the key dramatic tension points that Alien had was it was just you. There were no other people around. There's nobody to save your ass. There's no other humans out there. It's just you and the aliens. And bringing other humans in as an enemy means that there are other humans out there. It means that there's other people out there. And yeah, I get it. There's some sort of tension between like you and the mercenary forces. The mercenary forces are there because they're trying to protect the people who are experimenting with the xenomorphs, yada, 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 yada. But it removes a piece of dramatic tension, right? When you have that sense of isolation, when you have that sense of being just you and a couple of people against the aliens, that's what's terrifying. That's what's scary. That's what makes you have that sense of like being in this really tough, oh shit, situation. How am I going to get out of this? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why, like, when you find in the movie, when they come across Newt and she's like, shit, I'm going back because just being around you guys, that shit ain't going to work out well, you know, and it's not going to work out. And then they also waste other dramatic. The first time you see a burster is this very quick throwaway moment. It's just they don't understand or capitalize on the dramatic moments that could happen point to point. And they don't understand or capitalize on the dramatic tension potential of Alien, much less all the functional problems.
Yeah, I agree. But if your friend was like, hey, I have this copy, want to borrow it, and you have no time, or you have plenty of time, I'd be like, hey, you should play that for a few hours.
Because it's better than hitting your face with a brick.
It's, guys, it's better than hitting your face with a brick.
Right. I just want to jump in for 1 second.
Yes.
As a producer, I can understand exactly how a game like this was made. What I cannot make sense of is how the demos were what they were when compared to what the game ended up being.
Bullshots carried to a new level.
And that is the only explanation. A new level of manufactured bullshit.
And the single player demos were not playable by the public at PAXs and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so if all those videos that people seem to have must have been at private sessions. Because every time I've been to a convention, I've had to play the multiplayer demos.
I wonder if anyone out there was able to get hands on.
Yeah.
Not me.
As we go to break, Going Commando 117 asks this. Suppose for a moment that I have a friend that I'd really like to get into playing Borderlands 2 with me, but she's not comfortable with first-person shooters or stuff trying to kill her in general. Is there a good game...
I'm not comfortable with stuff trying to kill me.
Is there a good game to introduce her to first-person shooters and or twin-stick controls in general?
Portal.
Yes, excellent call. Portal is the winner.
Particularly Portal 2 co-op. Yeah. That would be the way to do it. Because you're doing it, you're solving the puzzles together, not doing it together.
There's not something chasing you as you're figuring it out, and you have sort of time to orient yourself.
And there's some dramatic tension with like the turrets and
timing.
That's a great suggestion. Mm-hmm. Great suggestion. It's a game that is the tone and writing is really welcoming to non-gamers.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
There's good dramatic timing.
It's
with
funny. It's funny.
Comedic timing. Yeah, it's funny.
I watched my sister play the original Portal. Remember?
Oh.
She was with us.
Oh my god.
And she like, there were some. There's going to be some bumpy. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Nothing is more difficult than being a gamer. Watching someone try to operate a first-person shooter for the first time.
It's the disconnect with the right stick.
Just move your head around, please. Just move your
head around.
Just give me the controller.
I was going to say, just pop her into Call of Duty Black Ops 2 multiplayer and just let her know what it's like out there.
Boom.
Let her know how good she has it in Borderlands 2.
Toss her into the deep end.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what just happened? Oh. Why do you do it like that?
Ooh. Let her know what's out there.
So there you go.
Options.
Portal 2 multiplayer. That's a great suggestion. Ariel, on top of it. Thank you very much. Good job. We played that too. We had a good time
good
with
job.
That. Good job.
Nice.
Good job. Nice.
Nice.
Well done. Okay. Do not play Resident Evil. That's not one that you want to play. It'll be filled with frustration and hatred. All right, stick around. We have the second half of the show still to come. We'll be talking about Star Ocean. And
I'm in the third segment. Yay. Okay.
You have your segment.
I have ideas.
And. Fire emblems. Yeah. Fire emblems, and we might talk about some dice and other stuff, and we have lots of your questions yet to come. Stick around. We'll be right back. This episode of Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers, with info on over 50,000 console, handheld, iOS, and PC games. Get up-to-the-minute gaming news along with thousands of HD videos and screenshots. Get into the action by creating your own profile, post updates about what you're playing, and stay connected with friends and other gamers. Tired of standing in lines? Find great deals on new and used games, pre-order upcoming titles, and get Gamefly's daily deals all from the palm of your hand. If you're already a Gamefly member, manage your game queue on the go and keep games you like with just one tap. Get the Gamefly app for free today on your iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. Jeff, Mick has a question for us. He says, how can gaming make me a better, more generous lover?
Mm.
Please cite specific examples in the most detailed language possible.
Uh-oh.
Dirty talk is okay if you can't think of a polite way of saying it. Please talk slowly and directly into the microphone.
It's got weird.
All right. So you know how in DDR you're... never mind.
It's that quick double step.
Yeah.
Move the quick double step.
Yeah. It's tough.
You ever played Tetris? You see, it's all about understanding when to rotate it and when to push it in.
Oh, God.
I have Garnet's no response to that question. Yeah.
You do?
I have no response.
Oh, you have like,
no response to that question? I have no response to it.
I bet you do.
I just gave
one response. You want another one?
I'm scared.
Why are you scared? I don't understand why you're scared.
I'm just saying you've been a little bit frisky tonight. I don't want to...
It's true. We've all felt it.
Jeff especially.
Yeah.
Well, guys. You know how it is.
It is Valentine's
Day. Come on.
Day.
Mick's acting for some...
No, he's not.
He's acting for some real suggestions.
It was
here.
An ironic question to bait you into talking dirty on the show.
Look, I cannot help it that he is a masturbator. That is not...
Let her get the loot first.
I admit I walked into that one.
You did walk right into that one. It's like, bam, I got it for you. It's like getting a Fire Emblem right on the forehead.
I think here's my serious... You want a serious answer?
I do have a serious answer to this.
My serious answer to this is the best quality you can have as a lover or a human being... is to listen.
So be Navi.
And especially multiplayer gaming.
Teamwork
and listening. Did I just get weird? Did it get weird?
Or listen to your sidekick.
Did it get weird here?
Hey.
All right, moving on.
Listen up.
Moving on.
No, I'm sorry.
I know when I'm being mocked.
No, do you?
You know it takes a while for you to figure it out.
Listen, All right, I just was doing an obvious impression.
You're silly. No, your segment. Go do it.
How are the patience and understanding that it takes to read a map and know where to go next?
Or like you're driving and I'm gunning.
That's how I play Borderlands with guys.
Yeah,
you're driving, buddy.
I'm driving and you're gunning. Where's that going?
Just saying, that's happened before.
I think that's called the Tennessee two-step.
we take turns, but like sometimes
baby,
I'll be driving. Floor and I'll be
now.
We take turns.
I'm serious.
Teamwork's great,
Jesus
man.
Jesus Christ, this is.
And it's.
We need to have a drop from the beginning of the show when Garnet was like, "I'm not going to let this go off the rails."
Well,
why we can't have nice things.
I threw Mick's question in there because I knew it would go off the rails. I figured we had to have one that went off the rails. Right. Just for fun.
Oh, just one. I'm glad that was the only one.
All right.
Jeff, tell us about Fire Emblem.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Ariel's segment.
It was technically my segment.
Do you want your segment now? All right. So, Ariel, tell us about Star Oceans.
Okay.
Or tell us about whatever you want.
Okay.
About
just be yourself. I will tell you about Star Ocean the
or
last
barrel time. Rolling. Wooden ships in Assassin's Creed
3. Oh my god. Oh my god. Assassin's Creed 3 is so buggy. I didn't realize how buggy it was until I started playing it.
Oh boy.
The bugs are amazing.
Star Ocean. Classic action RPG that is based on the Star Ocean formula that was established back on the PlayStation era, the one.
Inappropriate anthropomorphic cats.
Oh yeah, there are furries, there are lolis, there's a robot, if that's your thing.
I don't know what
Lolita
is. Okay, yeah.
I thought it was like LOLEs.
No. That would probably be better than
true.
than this character that is a romantic interest of another character that is like
it's nine.
Like, like 18 or something years old. Well, it's not right.
That's okay, actually, technically.
It shouldn't be. Come on.
No, the 18-year-old is the older one.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, 18-year-old is, yeah.
Whammy.
Yeah, that's the older one. So if you've never played a Star Ocean game, I honestly would recommend you jump into The Last Hope because...
Jump right into the ocean.
Jump right into the Star Ocean. And hop your essentially Star Trek-themed ship and set off into space. It is essentially Star Trek with a Japanese RPG skin.
With a number of episodes.
That's fun.
Yeah, there is an overarching story that will be established as you're going through essentially individual episodes. The game is not broken up into episodes. It's still like one cohesive game. It's not like you end chapter one and start chapter two, but it's like you go to this planet and have your adventure on this planet, like an episode of Star Trek. It's like,
that's cool.
Okay. They have their prime directive equivalent. That's like, okay, we can't like interact with the natives here and let them know what we're doing, but we're going to go in and investigate the culture and find out about things. And you're essentially getting a crew together from across vast reaches of space, having a great action RPG combat where you do have encounters and you enter into combat, but you are, you know, slashing your sword and using your arrows and doing all sort of like using your claws with the little cat girl, and pulling off these blindside attacks where they're essentially timed attacks that you pay attention to when enemies are attacking you and at the right time, you can pull off a special attack and come up behind their backs, pull off an attack to their back. But sometimes if you're not careful, they'll counterattack you while you're trying to do your blindsides. But those are little, they're more like punctuations to the battle that give a sense of, you know, drama to the battle because the blindsides are very cinematic in nature. So it's actually a very beautiful game. I think it's still beautiful. It's very cartoony. If you do a search on Google, it's like you cannot get more anime. Yeah. You got the eyes, you got the lolis with like the crazy hair and the little barrettes in her hair.
Yeah.
But it's just it is charming in that respect. If you are into the Japanese RPG thing and you haven't given Star Ocean a try, it's really fun. I recommend the thing that's really cool about Star Ocean. And Star Ocean: The Last Hope is no different from the rest of the series. Is that they have a really good crafting system in. You can do all sorts of cooking and metal work, and each character has their own specific skills that they're bringing to the party. And you're coming up with recipes and creating recipes. And honestly, it's fun. It's fun to collaborate with your party members and come up with a recipe for this Japanese dish that uses natto. Which I was going to bring in today and make you eat, but I'm not going to make you do that. Maybe next time.
I'll try it. I'm down to try it.
Yeah. So and you can use the food that you cook to gain more experience in battle, or
that's cool.
or maybe decrease the amount of MP you're using in battle for a certain number of turns, and it's just fun. And the cool thing about this time, if you played older Star Ocean games but didn't play this one, is that you cannot fail. When like as soon as you learn a recipe for something, you cannot fail in making it. So like sometimes with the older games, you might be crafting something, but instead of turning up with like, oh, this really cool item that I can use in battle, you end up with a lump of clay.
So the key to me watching Ariel play this, it got me.
Oh, this is Garnet jumping in because I'm boring everyone.
No, the key to me watching was like, that was fun.
I was learning about recipes.
Yeah, the recipe, but that's the fun thing. Sorry.
Is that the Tri-Ace combat system is alive
and
well.
It's so much fun, yes.
Is alive and well. And the Tri-Ace combat, if you haven't played it before, is that you control, they're like, I would say they are the experts at controlling one character in an action combat scenario with the other characters being controlled by an AI.
Right.
And you set them with their tactics that you want them to do.
And you hop between them. And
it's really, it looks really,
it's
it looks really fun.
It's fun. You're always
it's
keeping yourself busy.
It's real time or is it turn-based?
It's real time.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very... It is very action-packed. You will not be bored. Like,
so I'm not super familiar with this. So when did this come out? What are the consoles? Break it down for me.
It came out, I think I was in Japan when it came out. So this was...
A couple of years ago, 360 and PS3.
And then there's
subsequently been a PS3 international version that was released. And the international version on PS3 includes the Japanese soundtrack, if you want the Japanese voiceovers, which...
Okay, so I played the 360 version.
Which didn't have the Japanese voiceovers.
The... voice acting is the most horrible voice acting I think I've ever heard.
Horrible in a good way?
No. It's like, no, it is pain for your ears.
Okay.
And the writing is horrible as well, but I feel like with good voice acting, that could have
helped. Ariel also
bit.
Cannot watch a dubbed anime to save her life.
That's not necessary. I think Ni No Kuni, the localization of Ni No Kuni is spot on. Like, I would, hands down, I would not mind playing the English version of Ni No Kuni because it's amazing. All but right. But this game, like, it is so painful. I am someone who is not, like, I've played the Xenosaga games, like, first one, second one, third game multiple times of, like, each of those episodes. Yeah. I do not mind long, ridiculous cutscenes. This game has the most painful cutscenes.
Well, that's good, though, if the
I
game
kind of
is
enjoyed
so...
them. Actually, watching the game, I kind of enjoyed
them.
Because
they were painful.
But I didn't think they were painful
awesomely
as much
bad.
As they were kind of awesomely bad. Okay. They were kind of awesomely bad.
But if your main complaint is the cutscenes, that means the gameplay must be awesome.
The gameplay is awesome. The harvesting in the world where you're, like, gathering things, the crafting, the cooking, all that crazy shit, it could not be more fun. The game definitely excels at those systems.
I would say this. You chewed through it at a pretty
high
rate.
Oh, yeah. I like, yeah, for sure. I could not stop playing it.
How many hours?
I feel like...
On the clock?
See, that was difficult because I kept putting it down to, like, go and do other things, and the clock was still running. But I guess I was, like, at 35, 40 hours, maybe, by the end of it.
That's a good amount of time for an RPG.
Yeah, I thought
That's
it was right.
A healthy amount of time.
Yeah, I thought it was right. It was not... I feel like it is with a 60-hour RPG, by the time you get to the end of it, you're, like, you're done.
Yeah.
It depends on the content, but I agree.
But 40 hours was nice. I was not sick of it by the end of it.
Since we're doing Valentine's Day, I want you guys' opinion on this. We have, like, this weird thing in our house where...
Let's hear it. All right, we're ready.
It's called a cat.
No, it's two
now
of them.
Now there are two. Yeah.
That's a whole other weird thing. But I have this deal where, like, there are games that I really want to play, and Star Ocean would have been one of them, except once she plays them, I'm like, I'm not going to play it.
I just think you're weird about it. Like, I'm not gonna.
It's like she
I still
want to
play
Ni
No
Kuni
when you finish it.
Well, it's a time investment, and so I can see how you might not want to play something that you already watched. I don't know how much you watched or play.
So ironically, I've never liked watching anyone play other than Ariel, but I can actually lay on the couch and watch her play a game. It's like I kind
of
like it.
Do you feel like you've experienced kind of like the emotions and that you go through after you beat a game? Because like when my brother plays a game or a friend plays a game and I watch most of it, I kind of feel like I was a part of it. And so
some of my best memories of gaming is
backseat gaming.
Backseat gaming. It's a wonderful experience when you get the right team.
Maybe
you
that's
know?
It.
In college, when we would just set up, we'd like rent a game and bring it home, and like five dudes we'd play Life or Level.
Well, right,
but the thing is, she's not going to team with me. See, like, she's not going to team with me because she would not like the controller.
No,
you would not like. You would not team. With
sometimes, sometimes we would just do designated driver too.
Baby, I don't think you would team play a game.
No. I could do that. The thing is that you're like you're like in and out of there. You're not watching me play the whole game. You're like playing your own game, and then you might stop a little bit, and in between things, you'll watch me play for a little while, or while you're doing something else, you might watch me play. You're not dedicated.
So this really cropped up over when I bought the collector's edition of Lost Story and didn't get to it first, and she started playing it.
But like,
it sounds like you have a problem with this.
She was sounds like a personal problem.
She wasn't gonna play it. Like,
I would have played Lost Story,
no. And you can still. It's just you were playing something else that you needed to play. I forget what it was you needed to play, but you need to play something to like get through it,
yeah,
to talk about
related.
It.
You know how many people are jealous of this problem? This is like champagne problems right here. It's like my girlfriend steals
caviar
my
issues.
Girlfriend steals my 60-hour role-playing games and play them before me, and guys are listening to this going, my girlfriend hates that I play games. You know.
My girlfriend is like Nicole's boyfriend and is a BioWare character. Maybe they're thinking that.
Yes.
I mean, that's
is
their
it
problem.
Shepherd? Is that...
I'm Shepherd.
Oh,
come on.
Silly me.
Oh, weirdly enough, our Mass Effect 2 Shepherds, which we created way before we ever knew each other,
oh, this is gonna be weird.
Look almost exactly the same. It's
That's
really
weird.
Did you guys romance the same person?
No.
Okay.
Did you romance the same person?
That was a valid question.
Who did you romance in first game?
It's a, we're in a safe place, man.
He's,
we're in a safe place.
He's looking at me like, why
my guess is Liara.
Who was it?
Or Ashley. Those are the only two choices.
I didn't
no, we were women.
Game.
We were women in the game.
Well, then only Caden.
We had femships. We were both femships. You were...
Caden's hot. No, I get it.
Were you Caden? So I was Caden in the first game.
Oh, no. Then we weren't the same.
But we looked the same, yeah, okay, which is
all right,
weird.
All right, all right.
And then in the third game, I was Garrus all the way, baby.
Well, that's what I said. It was like,
gross. Yeah.
He's like a cat and a lizard.
Oh, he's gross.
No.
To no, love? my femship.
Our love calibrating. So true. Oh, yeah. Calibrating so hard.
Do you not remember this? So like, hard. My femship totally romanced Garrus, but like, I didn't get the sequence in the engine room right or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you didn't do that, like, yeah, the weird dance thing.
Remember?
Bacteria's like,
there's no way.
And I'm like, that's the scene? Really? Oh, whatever.
He brings up some alcohol and is like, let's drink this. Let's turn on some music. Let's dance.
When you're loyal to Caden in Mass Effect 2 and then you get with him in 3, it's a pretty good scene.
Really? I think I looked it up on the internet.
You guys really missed out because Dragon Age 2 has way hotter hot sex scenes.
Okay.
I
believe it.
Anders and I got it on, but it didn't work out between Anders and I. If you beat Dragon Age 2, did not go well.
Oh, dear.
You guys are all denigrating me, but like, I really, like, after you've played something, it's like, it just sort of loses its mystique. I don't want to play anymore.
Here's the thing. I think you should just give it a little bit of time. Like, I think you should give, especially the Lost Story, since it's so good, I think you should give that.
But
a
I really
bit
want to like. I don't think I'm so not interested in playing it now. It's like I saw you play it. I'm like, okay, it's cool.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I kind of would probably feel the same way. I feel like I would have had the experience of going through that game, even though you didn't have your hands on the controls. You had an experience of.
And here's the thing, though, is it's still a little bit empty because, as she noted, like some of the times I was playing something for myself, so I don't know everything that happened. But I feel like when something dramatic happened, I looked over and was like, oh. Okay, well, that's cool.
I should say though that you had that game for years and years before
Lost Story.
No, Star Ocean.
Oh, Star Ocean. Star Ocean. I can make no qualms about.
So,
obviously,
Ariel is going through your pile of shame for you. She's reducing your
that's life,
it's like
co-op.
You're like
that's,
multitasking.
That's sort of what I actually did when we moved in together.
You're like you are able to play a game and have her play another game right next to you. It's like you're playing two games at once.
That's saving time,
a
man.
Gift. A gift, sir.
Oh dear.
Valentine's
okay, wait.
Day miracle.
Okay, everyone. All right. So I would love it if Garnet, you instituted a new segment on the show whenever Nicole's on.
Okay. Nicole tells a story.
Nicole
twirls
tells
her
a
hair.
Story. No. And it's where you take one game and explain the plot of that game. And like,
and what game would you like
minutes.
Her to explain the plot? Oh, Aliens. Just give us the
no,
two.
No.
You have another one you want
that's
to
that's too short of an explanation.
Two.
What would you like her to do?
Let's do Pokemon.
Okay, the original?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was like, ready.
Yeah, let's do this.
Okay, so.
She just put her drink down.
It's whiskey.
Shit's serious.
This stuff
now.
Tastes like Christmas. Okay, so Pokemon 1. All right, so red, blue, slash yellow, which eventually become fire, red, leaf, green, obviously. So you start out as this unnamed, you know, Pokemon trainer, which is actually Ash Ketchum in the series, but you have the option of naming yourself, and you're in this small town called Pallet Town, and you can be anything you want, but you decide to become a Pokemon trainer, and your mom, who is a single mom and doing a great job, you know, encourages you to go talk to Professor Oak. Now, it turns out there's a... Like any kid, you have a little rival, and so his name is Gary Oak. I think he's the nephew of Professor Oak in the cartoon, in the anime, but you could name him as well, and I would always name him, like, some person I didn't like, because, like, I want to show you. So then you get to pick a Pokemon, and you have your starters, and then in red and... And then in red and blue, you have Squirtle, Charmander, and Bulbasaur to choose from, but in yellow, you get, obviously, Pikachu. But don't worry, because you'll eventually find Squirtle, Charmander, and Bulbasaur throughout the game. I think you find, like, Squirtle in, like, Cerulean City, and, like, Bulbasaur in, like, Vermilion City. You know, you find them eventually. So you become a Pokemon trainer. Professor Oak gives you your first Pokemon, and then you go from town to town. I believe there are 8 towns, and each town has a gym leader. And a gym leader is someone who bestows upon you a badge that proves that you have bested him with your Pokemon battles. And the first battle, and this is important to anyone who's want to play Red or Blue, is Brock. Now, Brock follows you around with you in the anime series. He becomes your bestie, but he's not your bestie in that game because you need to beat him. He's a rock type. So if you want to go the easy way out, you should start with Squirtle because fire type, grass type are not good against rock type.
I feel like we could all leave the room and just know that this would stop.
We're only on the first gym, you guys.
I know.
Okay?
I know. It's a long way to go.
So that's just kind of what you need to keep in mind here, is that those 8 badges that you eventually get will earn you access to the Elite Four. Now, while this is going on, there's Team Rocket, okay? Now, in the subsequent Pokemon games, it's Team Plasma and Team Galaxy, and there's tons of different teams. They don't change anything but the relation to space. They're space names. And they want to harness Pokemon's power for evil. And the way the game justifies the fact that you're capturing a Pokemon and taking it away from its natural habitat and forcing it to fight each other is by putting a terrorist group that actually is using it for evil, so what you're doing isn't that bad. So... Team Rocket's trying
to... using slavery for good.
Yeah, so as long as they have something in there that's even eviler than what you're doing, it's right. Okay. So they want to harness the power of Mewtwo.
That's called moral relativism.
And that's...
kids.
And that is Pokemon. And then so they want to access Mewtwo, who I think you need to get a Pokemon that has Surf, and he's up in, I believe, I want to say Cerulean City, which is the second badge, which is Misty, who Misty's also in the anime, who's my favorite. And in the anime, you go see her sisters and their mermaids, and that's like my favorite episode because I'm super into mermaids.
When do we get the time passes?
Okay, so let me wrap it up. So you fight Team Rocket along the way to getting your 8 badges. You eventually get to the Elite Four. You beat the Elite Four, which are the ultimate master Pokemon, which their ranges are about level 54 to level 58. So if you want to, you know, get there, make sure you're in that area.
I remember this
shit.
And
the final one's a dragon trainer, and he always has a Dragonite, and I love Dragonite.
Dragonite, yeah, I remember that.
I have a big Dragonite stuffed animal on my bed. And that's super revealing. and then so you beat the Elite Four, but then oh my god, there's an Elite Five. Oh, what? There's a fifth one, and it's Gary. But then you beat him, and then you get to go in the Hall of Fame, and then
somebody needs to take that audio and do one of those like animated, you know, where they like show the picture of all the shit that you're talking about.
Oh my god, someone out there, please do that.
That would go so viral. Like it's. You know, it would. What's it? There's an example of people have done it for millions of things, but you can show the picture of each thing yeah. and like written the words and then scratching it out yeah. and going here. And
oh my god, someone should do that. Also, YouTube.
And then yeah, it ends with the stuffed animal on the bed.
YouTube search Pikadiator. It is someone
what?
Editing the Pokemon anime to all the audio in the Gladiator trailer.
Oh my god, funny. I want to see that so bad.
Pikachu talks like Russell Crowe.
Well, that of all the things that have just been said, that makes the most sense.
Yes, it's pretty much awesome.
Yay!
Well done.
I am amazed. How much you remember.
You retain details that are
amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And after all that, I think she would love Ni No Kuni.
Because I have no doubt you would love Nino.
The numbers.
It's a great game.
It's because I'm afraid of commitment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my god, this is a learning a lot.
Valentine's Day miracle.
Yeah.
The familiars in that are so good. There's so many different ones to play with. So to wrap up,
names for you to remember.
I know.
Well, you get to pick your own names.
You get to pick your own names.
Can we talk about our favorite evolutions of Eevee real quick? Let's go around.
Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Which one did you have?
Favorite evolution?
Yeah.
Espeon.
Yeah, well, that's mine too, right, Garnet? Right, yours, right? Yours.
So that was not in Red or Blue.
No, Red, Blue, and Yellow had Flareon, which is a fire type, Hobbs, yeah. Vaporeon, water type, and then Jolteon, thunder.
See, I had Jolteon because I only played Red or Blue.
Yeah, yeah, but then I played Silver and Gold, which are great. And then you have a, depending on when you evolve them, day or night, you get Umbreon, which is the dark type, night Pokemon, and then daytime, psychic type, Espeon. And then psychic, in the first like 2 generations of Pokemon, psychic is super overpowered. Even when they introduced dark, psychic is still the best.
Did you hear about the new evolution of Eevee that is just announced?
Cilion, I think I believe.
I think so. It's
pink,
like pink,
and it's
yeah.
covered in bows.
Yeah.
It was like, we're going to follow Nicole and we're going to make a Pokemon just for her.
They have jumped the shark officially.
And I will buy it and a bundle and whatever else they sell me.
Oh my god.
The Outer Limits, as we wrap up this segment, The Outer Limits asks, have there been moments in video games or you're playing them that have ever resulted in serious arguments or breakups?
Oh shit.
Wow. Well, yes, dear. Have there?
This got real.
Have there?
Real fast.
Go ahead, tell me about some.
Oh god, no. I know. I know.
Tell me about
some. Use fake names.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's
Blarnet
fine.
Blee.
Okay. No. This just got really real. I had some problems playing Resident Evil 5 with the person that I was seeing at the time.
Oh, recent. Super recent.
Yeah. It was a little bit weird because, like, I was living in Japan at the time and I just received it and he'd had it for a while and so he sort of got a head start on me.
And then I was really trying to catch up to try to get up to where he was. But then, like, every step that I would take, he would take two steps forward with, like, someone else. And so he was, like...
snap.
And it definitely produced some tension that definitely brought to light both of our immaturities with our relationship and the fact that I didn't communicate to him well enough that it's like, this is something that was really important to me that we would be playing this together. And to him, it was just another game. So, yeah, no, this is not Garnet. This is not Garnet.
Did you slip him the tear virus into his coffee?
No, but that really happened. God, I hope to God it doesn't get wind of this.
Wind gotten.
Yeah. And if so, like, I'm sorry. That was really silly of me.
This is real.
I should have just told you how much it meant to me. Okay. That's it.
I don't have one.
Wait, caused a problem?
Yeah.
I don't think I have one either. I've had great experiences, like, you know, playing a game with a girl, like watching and helping out with the puzzles and stuff. I always love that, but I've never really, and I've had the, like, you know, games, it sucks because I'm supposed to do a thing, but I have to review this game, and I really, you know, there's been a little bit of a disagreement, like, it's just a game, but it really hasn't ever been a big deal.
That was vague.
Do you know what I mean?
That was very vague. I actually don't know what you mean. Just like, I don't know what you mean there.
Like, I have to play a game for my job, and
yeah,
the she's girl, like, pay attention to me.
That, I mean, this hasn't any time recently. It's been yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. That, yeah. It is your job, and I bet to a lot.
And
of
then
people
they'll be like, well, haven't you played enough of that?
Yeah.
No.
And it's like,
no.
Well, no, yeah, it not is, really. You know, I haven't.
Yeah, that's rough.
Let's see, Ariel doesn't like it when I play FIFA.
Wait, is that because how
most
frustrated
people
you
don't
get?
Like it when you play FIFA?
Oh, that's a big one. That is a big one that has caused problems. When I get so, I've gotten, as you could probably
like
tell from this very episode, that I, you know,
the
I
text is too slow,
demonstrative and histrionic with my expression of
that doesn't go over well.
But
the
that's
house.
We've talked about this on this show before. Mm-hmm. That is a bizarre, warped expression of fun. It's I am committed to this experience so deeply that I'm expressing my emotion, and my emotion in this moment is frustration, but that doesn't mean I'm not having fun necessarily. You know? Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm not having fun, I'm shutting this off. But there are other times where I'm like, oh my God, and I, you know, get demonstrative, and it's because I want to do it again so badly. You know, I wish I hadn't done that wrong, and now I want to get back into it. And it drives me to continue playing. And the significant other only sees that as, like, scary anger.
It scares me a little
yeah.
bit sometimes.
Yeah. I can see that. It's a fair reaction. And I've actually, you know, I've gotten better about that, too.
And Garnet has as well, like, for sure. Actually, Madden was probably the worst offender, not even FIFA.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, there you go. Thanks a lot, John, asshole. Guy, I don't even coach anymore. Jeez. What's up with that? All right, stick around. We have a final segment yet to come for this special Valentine's Day edition.
Yeah!
How do you all know exactly what to do for that?
Because we're older than you.
And because for the past 2 days I've been watching that over and over again.
With the GIF.
No, just on YouTube.
Oh. Well, after I give it to you, you started watching it again?
Yeah, I started watching it on YouTube.
Awesome! That's kind of awesome. we just keep going from there? Sure, why not? Like, we'll just keep going from there. There you go. Walk the
Speaking
dinosaur,
Speaking of
everybody.
Dinosaurs.
Speaking of dinosaurs, by the way, it does sync up excellently with the hallway scene and the GIF, if you haven't already. You can, like,
boom,
just
boom,
put it on the...
Shakalaka, like,
and
the, boom.
And, you know, the Xeno sort of walks along like he's walking the dinosaur until he explodes.
Yeah. Well, that happens when you walk the dinosaur too much.
Let that be a note, kids.
Coming back as we get ready to wrap up this fantastic Valentine's Day edition, Improbable Jay threw this one to us. Like making a mixtape, what would be on a gaming mix for a date?
A gaming mix?
That's super easy for me because I'm a big fan of game music.
Oh,
I'm interpreting that literally.
I think what music would you put on it? I mean, that's...
Well, I like the orchestral sweeping scores of Final Fantasy and Xenogears and Xenosaga.
I think he means actual games.
I think he meant
he meant soundtracks.
Huh. Maybe it's a
mixtapes are coming back in a big way.
No, I was sort of interpreting it literally, but I think that the real interpretation is like...
What games would you
play? Yeah, what games would you play together? What would be on the menu, the gaming menu for the evening?
I think I would steer clear of fighting games. Fighting games would be like an instant click, but then I think the conflict might not be
co-op
perfect.
Co-op is the way to go.
Co-op is the way to go. But what sort of, like, Portal's already come up, but I think Portal would be awesome. Portal's always awesome.
And it has companion cubes right in it.
Oh.
That's sort of a romantic
well done.
Gesture right there.
Cube is the sexiest of all the 3D shapes.
You think?
Oh, easy. Hands down.
Hotter than dodecahedron?
Way hotter.
All right, maybe you
say
so.
Than that made-up shape you just said right now.
I think some Mario Wii U would be awesome.
Oh, definitely. For sure.
Yeah,
that would be really
cool. Is it Galaxy where you can have the second player basically just collect things?
That's girlfriend
mode. The partner work is,
Jeff
that's Kanata's like second tier.
Mode.
That's like
don't,
third
don't
tier.
Don't pin that on me. Don't put that juju on me, Ricky Bobby.
Juju.
I would actually say something like Mario Kart would be.
Yeah, that's good.
Mario Kart
that's
could
fun
be a lot
for
of fun.
Really
I think that'd be fun. One.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Mario games excel at that.
Interesting. We're like all over the Nintendo games.
Well, you know, they're friendly. Even something like Wii, like tennis or bowling or something. Get up, get active, get sweaty.
Well... You couldn't go wrong with any dancing game, probably.
Right.
Actually, any dancing game, or maybe even Rock Band. Rock Band could
be a lot of fun.
Rock Band could definitely be a lot of fun.
It's
God, I want some more Dance Central.
Dance Central would be fun.
Game. Like, I need to break out some of the sequels to that. I need to do a lot.
Up at Alex Albrecht's bachelor party that we talked about last week on the show, we played Rock Band, and I hadn't played Rock Band in... I can't even tell you. Maybe a year. Maybe more than a year.
It's pick up and instantly fun again.
Instantly fun again.
Yeah.
And they're still putting out music. And we went to the store and looked at all the music. And there's just phenomenal songs available. And it really made me long for, like, all at every Double Jump show, I, like, gave away my Rock Band equipment. And I was like, I kind of wish I still had that stuff because it was so much fun. But really that game... became really a party game, and it needs that environment where everybody's doing it and playing along, and it was so much fun.
So let's see, Mario Wii U, Rock Band, Dance Central.
If you're relatively the same age, then you can have like the nostalgia games, the games you played when you were younger. So anything at co-op N64 or co-op SNES. I was gonna keep going.
The stuff when you were young, right, Garnet? Like N64. You're like a swaddling clothes. Remember that? Remember when the N64 came out?
It's
hard to remember back that
grade.
Far.
Yes. I'm going to kill you.
I'm right there fucking with you, dude.
Dude, Mario Party. That's a great
game. Mario Party is actually fun. Or Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers I would go with. Smash Brothers. Because there's not
Mario
really a fighting
Party.
Game.
But Mario Party, there's no losers. You're all... It's
yeah,
there,
yeah.
Everyone it, plays
there's,
it.
There's less of a loser than Mario Brothers. Or Super Smash Brothers.
I don't know. I used to get fiercely competitive... playing Mario Party.
I have
with my
a weekly Mario Party session with my cousins.
With Mario Party. I haven't played Mario Party recently.
Because you're never fiercely competitive.
Well, because the latest Mario Party sucks. Mario
How about
Party 9?
Rayman Legends.
Oh, that's an excellent one.
Yeah.
That's
dudes.
A very good one. That is actually, that's another very good one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you can play some Dead Space 3 co-op.
Yeah.
Different kind of date. Different kind of date.
Different kind of date. You want things to get a little bit creepy.
Some people are into that, man.
Yeah,
you know, putting
true.
On a horror movie is a good date sometimes.
Yeah,
you know,
no, so. It is because it essentially
you
it gets your body in elevated sort of like it quickens your heartbeat.
Say it slower.
But I would differentiate some between like a date mix and then like a you've been going out mix. Because a date mix, like you want to keep things fun, you want to have like
light,
some tempo.
Yeah, you don't want anyone to have any harsh feelings for dying or...
Like Ariel and I eventually wound up, like, we play a lot of co-op games. We put a shit ton of Borderlands and Borderlands 2, but I wouldn't say that like that's like not like a date game.
There's
that's,
a lot of stats in Borderlands, so you have to be a pretty serious gamer too.
You're committed. That's a committed relationship.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah.
It's like you're in it. You're in it to win it.
It's like a Facebook status change game, you know? When you're at that point.
Pretty soon you're in Animal Crossing together, and then what have you done?
Then you're no turning back from there.
You're
man.
Moving into the Sim City.
By the way, you know there's the beta continues this weekend.
Yeah.
There's just like one day of it, though. It's just Saturday. It's just Saturday, but they're supposed to have like introduced some of the changes based off feedback. I'm curious. Are you going to play it?
I doubt
it. On Saturday?
It. No. I don't think I have time on Saturday, unfortunately.
I might turn it on for an hour just to see what they changed. Anyway.
Anyway.
There you go.
We're talking about
games.
Nintendo. I was going to want to talk a little bit more about Nintendo because I was playing my 3DS, which I hadn't done in a while. And they also had some big announcements. I mean, some cataclysmic numbers have come out, which is really sad. But there's some interesting – there was a Nintendo Connect that happened this week. And we've been talking so much about RPGs. I was playing Fire Emblem, which is another RPG on the 3DS, another Japanese role-playing game. And this announcement of
– Propers to 8-4, by the way.
Yeah. Well –
Will
yes.
I take it back?
I mean, my biggest criticism with that game is the dreadful, dreadful, dreadful writing. I don't mean to. I'm
or
sure
not
they
propers.
Did a great. I'm sure they did a great job translating what was already dreadful. You know, but it is. I have a hard time sitting through that story.
Okay, what makes it dreadful for you?
It's just poorly written. I mean, all the characters. There's no nuance. There's no. It's just. Dreck. I hate
like
to
a...
be so negative.
So I think that because Fire Emblem is a name that's come back up again in prominence, maybe it's because there hasn't been a lot of Nintendo first party stuff of late, but I think Fire Emblem is not something a lot of folks would know. So give a quick explanation of Fire Emblem.
It is a role-playing game with a strategy fighting system. So it's turn-based strategy, moving your characters around like chess pieces and getting them in a position where they can make attacks and dealing with a large number of enemies in a – and the really cool thing is it zooms in and you see a sort of an animated almost like battle chess version of the fight that goes on. And they give you all these camera controls to sort of enjoy that moment, which is interesting. I mean it's cool, but you sort of just want to get through it as quick as you can. At least I do.
Now, is that what – to bring it back to Super Smash Brothers, I think it was Brawl that had – is it Marth? Is that where he's from?
Yes.
I think Melee.
Was it Melee?
Was the
there were, I think
Brothers
two characters
Marth.
That
Marth
were –
Marth and – why am I forgetting his name? Is the brown-haired one.
Yeah.
Because they're
when
Emblem.
I played those games years ago, I always wondered what the Fire Emblem series was because I knew they were from that series.
Right. I would – if you have a 3DS, download the demo. It's – really cool. I really dig it, and it looks pretty, and it's a fun universe. I just find the presentation of the story to be. It is that thing we've been talking about, that classic Japanese anime story.
Roy,
that's
his name.
Good job.
I got it. It took me a while.
Excuse me. It is just where, you know, everybody is. It's almost, you know, sometimes these Japanese role playing games can almost be commedia dell'arte. Where it's literally just these prototypes that play their part, and so you know exactly where everybody plugs in. You know, you have the hero with amnesia, you have the silly girl who is silly, and you have the strong bigger guy who's strong bigger guy, and he's not smart, but he's brushes. You know, it's almost this rote series of caricatures, and that's fine if you're into that. I just happen I think playing it this week butted up against playing Ni No Kuni, which is so charming and so unexpected. I mean, the things that happen are so unexpected, and the variety of characters is so interesting, and the way that they have personality and are, you know, vibrant interesting characters.
Well, and I also think though that Ni No Kuni is probably speaking to your sense of whimsy because you love the whimsical, and the whimsical fairy tale element of Ni No Kuni was the part that I knew as soon as I started playing it and how well they hit it. I was like, oh, that's going to resonate a lot with.
But I love classic fantasy, and I you know, I'm a huge fan of.
And even so,
novels.
Even so, Fire Emblem is not hitting for you.
I think the game is awesome. The game is awesome.
But I mean, the fantasy, the fiction
can't,
part.
I can't stand the. I think the presentation is very true to that style. It's of the, you know, and then you know, and then they
but
say
did
something
very well.
Like, yeah. "What did he go? Oh, but I liked him." You know, it's like it's that kind of like. It grates on me. I apologize for people who are fans.
I find that it's weird. It is interesting how personalized some of these sensibilities are, because I would imagine the same could be said of a Mr. Drippy.
Okay, I think
Mr.
I probably
Drippy,
characterized
okay.
my.
I
think
what you're doing.
He's from Ni No Kuni.
Ni No Kuni, yeah. Now I get it.
No, I mean,
any
sound bite can be annoying, and I shouldn't have expressed my displeasure in the form of a sound bite. What I'm trying to say is that every character sort of explicitly states what they're thinking. There's no nuance in the writing, and everything is so direct and bland, and you know, like. And everything takes so long to do. Like, we have a 5-minute discussion over nothing and end up just moving to the next area. You know, it's just, in my opinion, not good writing.
Can I ask you something? Did you ever play Valkyria Chronicles?
I did. I liked it a lot.
And, I mean, thinking of when you were describing the fact that, like, oh, here is this hero caricature that has, you know, amnesia. And then here is the girl that is annoying, and here is the brutish, heavy.
Yeah.
Thinking back to Valkyria Chronicles, I think the reason why I was so drawn to that game was because it wasn't like that.
Right. And it was in a very different setting, and I think that the characterization was a little stronger in that game than you usually find in comparable games. I just think that I know this is a broad statement and what I may regret, but I think that too often these big role playing games, I think not enough care is taken in creating a story that could stand on its own without a game attached to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I wish there was more of that. Like, Ni No Kuni, if it was released as a Studio Ghibli movie with no interaction, would still be really entertaining, and I would love those characters.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? And I'm reading a great fantasy novel right now that feels like reading a video game, and I keep wishing I want to find the video game that lets me play and feel as connected to the characters.
What are you reading?
Way of the Kings by Brandon Sanderson.
Oh, Brandon Sanderson. He did the Mistborn series. Did you read those?
Exactly.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Those were good.
And
he finished
the Wheel of Time for Robert Jordan after
right.
he passed away.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Well, you know, you kind of did distill this argument down to something that's not an unusual, we didn't know it sort of thing. I mean, we oftentimes have lamented the inability of the fiction within our games, especially fantasy role-playing games, to live up to some standard that we've held for them.
Right.
So that's
but,
not...
But it's easy. I mean, I think it breaks it into even starker contrast when I'm playing another game in the same genre that does it so well, and I'm so happy in that world, and I like those characters, and I want to watch the cutscenes, and I'm like, I don't want to skip anything because they're fun and well-directed, and, you know, it's... Presentation it really goes a long way in these games because you're spending so much time with these characters. And while I love the combat system,
so tell me about the upside. Tell me what you like about Fire Emblem.
The combat system. I mean, I'm a sucker for turn-based strategy games, and I'm a sucker for old school turn-based role-playing games. And this feels less like a Japanese role-playing game turn-based style than it does like the old, you know, Ultima and Might and Magic games where you would like move a little.
Really?
Deeper. I mean, it's I guess it's more like playing a mini version of Advance Wars inside your role playing game. But that's how those games used to be, you know. And you know, when you had a party of guys and it was just sprites on a board and you were moving them around and telling which guys to attack when. That's the games I grew up on and loved. And this is that. And yet also has really good graphics when you're out in the world. It's really strange. You move into this sort of, especially in the 3D environment of the 3DS, when you have the 3D on, it's really 2D guys that are sort of feel like stickers, you know, like Mario Sticker Star, stuck on this 2D plane, moving them around. And then once they fight, it like zooms in and it's cool 3D awesome graphics. So it's really interesting, jarring combination of styles that kind of works for me. I really dug it. That alone is enough. I like the strategy of moving my guys around, and the fact that, like, when you have dudes stand next to each other, they buff each other, and you can do different combinations of buffs based on what type of character is standing around. You know, it's really an interesting, deep strategy element layered on top of this role-playing world. So I dug it. So a few things occurred to me while I was playing it. One of them is, it's interesting how for about 15 minutes, the entire video game world and the whole home entertainment world was enamored with 3D. And Nintendo was like, fuck it, we're making a whole system around it. And now, 15 minutes later, no one seems to give a fucking shit about 3D. And Nintendo is still saddled with this machine that they built around 3D. And it's like none of the games coming out, they all support it, but it's like,
there's nothing especially
3D about
them.
There's no reason for it.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it. And it's like they latched onto this technology because for a hot minute, it seemed like the next big thing. And it's crazy how fast everybody moved away from that. And it just feels like this strange, huge feature on this device that I think most of the people I know who play 3DS play it with it shut off.
Well, yeah, it's a vestigial feature. Yeah,
a vestigial of a moment that lasted the briefest of times just in their release window.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy to me because that game, I happen to really dig the 3D on the 3DS, and I usually play the games with it on, but I think most people don't, and it doesn't really add anything to most of the games.
Do you have the standard or the XL?
I have the standard. I wish I had the XL. The XL's awesome. I wish I had the XL, but I have the standard. We almost passed over the fact that they announced another new role-playing game in the Mario Luigi role-playing game series, which I love.
Dream Team.
Bowser's Inside Story.
Great Nintendo Connect this week again. Nintendo Connects have been delivering.
Bowser's Inside Story, I think, is a phenomenal game that more people should have played. It's a brilliant, strange, wonderful. I love how crazy they are pushing the envelope with what they do with the dual screens in those role-playing games. It's just so brilliant. And it looks like Dream Team is similarly bizarre. You're literally playing Mario inside one of Luigi's dreams. Like, he dives into Luigi's dream.
More Luigi's the hero all of a sudden.
It's like Psychonauts, only Mario and Luigi.
Well, but the whole bottom screen, the whole touch screen of your 3DS is a hugely zoomed in view of Luigi's face. And you use the stylus and touch screen to poke him and manipulate him. You can, like, yank on his mustache and poke him in the eye. And
oh my god, this is like Nintendo 64 Mario.
And you jostle his nose and
start
stuff.
Screen.
Yeah.
And what you do to his face, like, does something in the top world to Mario. And it's nutty and weird and bizarre, but I sort of love it for all those things. You know, I like, it's great that there's a company out there with as much to lose as Nintendo seems to have right now who's still going, fuck it. Do the crazy concept with our biggest marquee characters.
After those January NPD numbers for the Wii U, they need to do something.
It is
terrifying. On Luigi, they announced DLC for Super Mario Bros. U that alters every single stage.
Huge DLC.
To be from Luigi. Yeah. So, they're definitely trying things.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, they do stuff that no other company does. With just bizarre ideas that they put their full support behind, you know?
And I think that they have a fan base that's going to give them way more chances than any other console or publisher.
Well, yeah, except nobody's buying the Wii U.
I'll give them a chance to win me over. Like, I'm never going to give up on them giving me a chance to win me over.
People will buy the consoles when, like, the new Zelda's out or the
I
new
know,
Big
but
Mario's
when is that going to be?
That's the
problem.
Nintendo needs to show that.
Yeah.
But people are going to buy it. Like, I got my Wii U for Christmas. Like, I requested it specifically because I knew that sometime down the road.
Right.
No, but I didn't want to pay for it myself.
The problem is the share is that Wind Waker will be out this fall, and then the next Zelda will be out
someday.
It better not be the next fall, because that's
It's ridiculous.
I'll just play Skyward Sword again.
Did you like it?
Yes, I did.
I didn't like it.
I liked it.
We should fight.
I love Skyward Sword, too.
So where does that leave you on Fire Emblem?
I dig it. I want to. I want to play more of it. I mean, I'm not.
So you can get past all of those little jiggly parts.
Yeah, it's one of. It's kind of like what we were talking about before, where the, you know, the, I could, not care less about the story, of what's going on, and maybe that'll change as. But I am just like, come on, move it along, move it along. But I love the fighting moments.
And to sort of like draw circles around some of the other things we talked about, like I could almost even probably, like Nicole and I were having this discussion about Aliens, I could probably almost play Aliens simply for the fact that when you fire the pulse rifle, it's like it sounds like the pulse rifle out of that movie. And you're like, holy shit, that's exactly right sound. And when you pull out the motion tracker, it has that exact, that when there's nothing there, that little low-grade thump, thump, thump. And then when there's pings, you hear the pings. But then just at a fundamental shooter level, although firing the pulse rifle sounds so good, it feels so empty. There's just no punch to it. There's just no sense of fortitude to it. And it sounds like the converse is true of Fire Emblem. Like all of the mechanic pieces of it give you this really cool strategic role-playing game combat system that's like, oh, this is really fun. I'm having a great time with this. And I can deal with like characters that don't work for me.
I mean, I love games like that. I mean, I kind of compare it a little bit to King's Bounty series, you know, where it's got that turn-based fighting style that I love. So it's that Heroes of Might and Magic style. It's not exactly that in Fire Emblem. It's very different, in fact. But similarly, in those games, like I'm not coming for the universe that you're painting. Yep. I'm coming for the awesome mechanic that I can just do over and over because I dig it.
Did you play Assassin's Creed 3?
And yes. I did.
He's not happy about it.
I mean, there are moments of it that I like, but
I've been really enjoying it. Like
I didn't finish it.
But like in the first level.
And I know you have, and I was going to let you talk about it a little bit because we didn't get to that, but I think the point that I wanted to get here was that it's another one of these games that fits into this conversation because I've been watching Ariel play it, and like there's some tremendous bugs in that game.
Like horrible, like I cannot complete this mission because, or I have to, like, go to the internet and see what sort of workaround I can use to get past this mission.
Which I was surprised that it was that. Like, there was one point also where she was in the naval combat. I didn't realize how much a part of the game the naval combat had become. And the naval combat is really cool. Like if indeed the next Assassin's Creed is a pirate-based game that's based off of this naval combat thing, I can get why, because that part's really cool. Mm-hmm. That part is done very well, except for the part where her giant multi-gun, multi-manned, like you know, 50-foot or whatever it is, like it's way better than 50, it's 150-foot boat, did a barrel roll.
Yeah, it was funny. I was like...
All the way upside down, like underwater, in full 3D, like you're underwater. Oh, it's like, we're just barrel rolling the boat.
I was in very choppy water, and I entered a cutscene right when this big wave was coming. and my ship went...
That's a perfect storm of gaming. Perfect storm.
The bow was almost completely pointed up straight into the air, like almost a 90-degree angle. and then it eventually flipped completely backwards. And then all of a sudden I saw the water coming down on me. And then I flipped completely over again.
Oh, that's not a barrel. Barrel rolls sideways, isn't it?
I thought you did one that was like just a twist. You did one that was just like a 360 twist. You were in the heavy seas and it hit you from the side and the boat rolled.
No, it wasn't the side. It wasn't a barrel roll. It was going over...
All right,
stern
watermelon roll, really
underbow. Yeah, it was like
it needs a name.
Another time, she was like in this mission, and she had to deal with all these people who were assaulting someone, and it turned out that ultimately all she could do was just go by and kill them because for some reason their aggression wasn't proccing.
The townsmen were supposed to be like assaulting this doctor, and instead
they're just standing there,
like motionless.
Oh, I remember that.
like, dude, what's up?
just to go through.
No, but I love that.
I'm like,
thank goodness.
It was funny. Because, like, I couldn't punch them. It wouldn't let me punch them, so I couldn't start anything, so I had to go individually and, like, strangle individually all these men to bring each and every one of them.
But at the same time, you're forgiving of that by virtue of the other piece. So it's like three different examples of games with different elements that aren't quite clicking right, but different degrees of acceptance of that and how they work together, right?
Because in the end, as long as you're having at least a little bit of fun, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Our standards are so low.
It's not what it's about, though.
Just
it's fun.
Please, just let me suck at the teat of fun for just a little bit.
Let me escape Please. From my Santa life yeah. for an hour, an hour.
So how about we get one more Valentine's Day question in here before we do our finishing moves? How about this one from Rodeo Benjamin over at Rodeo Games in Guildford? Friends there who built the Hunters game. Hunters and Hunters 2. Yeah. You know those games.
Hunters HD.
Great games. Thanks for all the guys over there at Rodeo Games listening to us. We're doing this one, which is, what are some of the best gifts a gaming couple can buy for one another on Valentine's?
Gifts, not gifts.
Gifts. I'm sorry.
Some
if
gifts
I didn't pronounce
there.
That, what are some of the best gift
such gifts as best animated gifts. Panda.
What gifts would you get for your, each other's gaming company? Well, I know when I got Ariel, but I can't tell her yet. I was gonna it's actually in the car. I meant to bring it up so you could open it during this, but it's you can't.
Stop
it.
Listening. Close your
Step
ears.
Step one,
however,
cut a hole in a box. Step two.
I think that the thing is you have to sort of immediately steer away from games, though, right?
Or you buy her or him a game that you guys both like, but play together, and then buy them a copy of it so you guys
That's
can play
cool.
when you're apart as well.
Yeah. That's
or
cool.
headset. I feel like headset's a good thing, and I'm someone who still uses the $12 headset that the Xbox came with. Like, and that's a bummer. So I feel like if you're a co-op partner,
if you're thinking of courting Nicole, I'll take notes.
Yeah, seriously, give me a headset.
I honestly, and this is my honest opinion, it's going to depend on the lady or guy,
sure,
whom you're with, and I think that me personally, I will love games, but I also appreciate things like nice jewelry. And
you're really going out on a limb on this one.
No.
It depends on who you're
Emerald
with.
Kyle.
I like games, but I also
saying,
like other
I'm,
stuff.
I'm saying that
don't limit the list to games.
Like it, if you're a
I
guy and with a girl, or if you're a girl and with a girl, that just because they're a gamer doesn't necessarily mean they want a game related thing.
That's a good point. Actually, that's
like
a really good point.
Like some
really
some girls want flowers. Like I couldn't give a flip about flowers.
Right.
Some girls want scented things, you know? So I think you just...
Things you can light on fire, you know, whatever
So what you're saying
new.
Is get to know the person
get
you're
to
dating.
The person.
Maybe pay attention to their likes and or dislikes.
Yeah.
Listen.
Maybe they want something romantic, even if they're a gamer. Maybe they want some you know, sexy time or, you know, someone
what?
Can help you
a
with
gamer?
That. I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Any other suggestions, Jeff? What would you like from your partner, as you know, as a gamer guy?
That's a good question. You know, I tend not to want things that I already know the right way to buy it. Do you know what I mean? Like, especially if the girl isn't super into games, like I don't want her to have to. It's adorable when they like I've had girls like go to a comic book store or go to a board game store and they're completely out of their element and they that effort is endearing and wonderful. But I'm usually much happier when they pick something that I would never pick for myself. So it shows a little of their taste and it influences my world a little more because like. You know, if I want a game, I'm not going to wait for my girlfriend to buy it for me usually because I want it now, you know.
Right.
But, you know, but there's wonderful things that can be that there's a wonderful way of showing your support of your mate's hobby by gifting them something to do with it, like, you know, a time card for WoW or – you know, so a peripheral or something that shows that you support their hobby. I think that's lovely and feels nice when you're like, oh, almost like it's permission to indulge in this thing that you love that's not them.
Oh, that's cool.
You know what I mean?
Well put.
Or a picture of you can put on the joystick. So no matter where you are, I don't know why that just came to me.
I hesitate to tell you the picture that I imagine you putting on the joystick.
Oh God,
I'm not going to say it.
Say what? I don't know where this is going. But there's a bunch of sites out there where you can like best of both worlds. If they have a favorite game and they do want jewelry, then go to Etsy and see what kind of, you know, Resident Evil jewelry there is, because there that exists. There's a bunch of that stuff on there.
Yeah,
if you wanted to mention
that. But like the thing is. I want jewelry. Like, yeah. I don't want.
Yeah.
I love sapphires. I love Zelda, but I don't want.
I feel like she's not really talking to us, Nicole.
Yeah, she's talking.
We're just in the room. Garnet's got to drive someone real quick and exchange something.
Every
kiss begins with K, okay, guys?
Uh-oh.
Also, there's Zales.
I might have said
there is.
Oh, no. So you didn't want an ocarina locket?
That sounds awesome. I have an ocarina.
I do. I actually, my sister got it.
You got an ocarina?
Like a blue one.
Hoot.
No, it came with instructions on how to play the Ocarina of Time songs.
Really?
There's like a little booklet.
You remember that? There's an ocarina app on your phone.
Oh, I have that by Smule or something.
Yeah.
Okay, we've
shall we do finishing moves?
Okay.
I think we already did, but yes, go ahead.
It's the weekend, and it's time for Finishing Moves.
All right, back, and a lot of dice stuff I didn't get to, so maybe we'll have to come back to it next week. I don't know, except you're not here. Mr. Jeff Cannata will be absent next week. He'll be in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona.
Covering mobile phones for his new gig, Always On, with Molly Wood on CNET, which you can catch on CNET.com.
Always On. Season 3 is about to premiere, I think, next week. And I should be on that.
Support those guys. Check that out.
Thanks.
And there were a couple of themes that came out of DICE. I will talk about them next week if you want to. You know, one of them obviously was a good bit of discussion about mobile. The other one, of course, was free to play. And we saw the CEO of Wargaming.net deliver a really one of the few, I thought, this year really good talks about their monetization strategies and how they tried to and continue to try to make an excellent game and plan ahead of time for where free-to-play is going. And one thing we've learned over the past couple of weeks is that where free-to-play is going, at least in the Western world, is buying studios that have traditionally made normal or you know retail box product games in the current generation. And those would have been Day One Studios, which they bought a week or two ago. And Day One, you'll probably remember, is the Mech Warrior guys, right? Fear 3. And then today announced that they have bailed out Chris Taylor's gas-powered games, swept in, bought gas-powered games, unknown what they're going to do with it, but it's a great fit for them. I mean, if you think about these guys, Wargaming.net has World of Tanks, World of Warplanes, World of Warships, or World of Battleships, as they're calling it now. Coming.
World of Sea-Doos. It's not as popular.
World of Sea-Doos.
I think that's way more popular.
But I'm very curious to see what happens with these acquisitions. It's clear from his talk that they have aspirations to move into these traditional platforms. But obviously, they're not going to move into these traditional platforms with $60 products. But they are going to move into these traditional platforms with a quality level on par with a $60 game. And I think it really signals just how big a difference whatever this next generation turns out to be is going to be from a software and game side, not just from a console hardware side. What you see next week when we have the announcement of the next PlayStation system is going to be just the tip of the iceberg of how very, very different the coming landscape of gaming is going to be. And it's something you should be excited about, actually. Like instead of like, you know, raising the klaxon over free-to-play and monetization schemes, I think that the ones that have been taking advantage of people will go by the wayside as people become savvy to that. And what will come out of that, you know, will be the business models for games that work so you can still have great games. And I think there's still loads of people out there who want to make great games and just need to find a way to make a living at it and a way to do it in a way that fits the modern economy. And it's exciting to see Wargaming.net, who's been so very successful with Word of Tanks, which, by the way, I think I've got at this point, I got to play the damn game. I mean, it's just it's such a phenomenon.
Their E3 booth is big enough for you. You should probably play it.
Hmm?
The E3 booth for World of
Tanks. Oh, my Lord. The E3 booth is unbelievable.
It owns every other booth.
Yeah.
In
so,
size.
And this is their 15th anniversary.
No.
It's shocking to think they've been around that long. So there you go. That's a little bit of a long finishing move, but I'm really curious to see what happens. And by the way, you know, congratulations to Gas Power Games, and I hope that some of the folks who got laid off in the Wild Man Kickstarter saga are able to get their jobs back and work on some great projects there.
Yep.
Here.
Who would like to go next?
I can go. As you said, I will not be here next week. I will miss you guys. But my finishing move may be a little lame because it's a repeat of last week. But in case anybody missed it, it's worth repeating. Download Space Team if you have an iOS device.
You really like that, huh?
It's in my top all-time iOS games because it is...
Turn up the flux capacitor!
Instant fun for people that have never played it. I played it in Portland last weekend with a bunch of people who don't play video games. I was like, just trust me, download this. It's free. Everybody was instantly having a good time, laughing their asses off. There's a big update for it with a bunch of new stuff that just came out. It's glorious. Simple premise, but it's just fun right away. Right away you're giggling and laughing and it's wild and crazy. So do that.
Nicole?
Okay, so I have two quick things. The first is a game that Indie Jeff, other Jeff, actually told me about. It's called Beastie Bay, and it's kind of this Farmville-style game, but in order to get more resources and to get more land, you have to do these like Pokemon-esque battles. So it's a free iOS game. I think you can pay to get like an upgraded version of it, but it's just a simple game, and it kind of combines two addictions into one. You know?
From the fine folks at Kairosoft.
Yeah, yeah.
Beasts and eBay.
Yeah.
Beastie Bay.
That's probably where it came from. Quote me on that. And then my second thing is a friend of mine is writing, wrote a comic being published by Image Comics, and issue 2 comes out this week. It's called The End of Times of Bram and Ben, and you can find out more at lifeandtheendtimes.com.
Awesome. Yeah. Ariel, you
that was
may...
concise.
May bring it home for us.
Okay, so I should start this out by saying that I am a Sony employee and I was assistant producer on PlayStation All-Stars. But we have a really cool announcement that...
It's the new PlayStation. You're going to tell us about the new PlayStation right now.
Yeah. Holy
get ready,
shit!
Get ready.
Exclusive.
Oh my
okay.
God.
So Kat from Gravity Rush and Emmett Graves from
still
Starhawk.
Cool, still cool.
Are now in the game as additional content.
That's
like full blown characters. Like
I can't wait to see how the Cat from Gravity Rush
okay,
plays.
So I should say they're free for right now.
That's cool.
So starting this past Tuesday, the 12th, they're completely free for 2 weeks. You can download them now, completely for free. And as soon as that 2 week time span lapses, then. And you didn't download it, then you have to buy them.
The emphasis being, if you have PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, go get on and download them now so you get them for free.
Kat is honestly, like, my favorite character in All-Stars.
Does she use, like, crazy upsy-downsies?
Oh, yeah. She's, like, awesome. She's all over the place, and she's flying everywhere.
That's
and, like, I think Superbot did a really amazing job of translating the combat and flying around in Gravity Rush very
super
well.
Super underrated game, I think. At the end of the year, nobody really talked about it, but it was a great game.
Well, Dice got best fun.
Oh, yeah,
game.
It did, huh?
Are you talking about Gravity Rush?
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Gravity Rush.
Also PlayStation All-Stars is great.
awkward. I was talking about Gravity Rush.
Yeah.
Gravity Rush is great.
Yeah, and Kat in All-Stars is super fun. So I highly recommend if you have All-Stars, definitely go and get it on the PlayStation
Store. And some levels.
And oh yeah, well so we also have a Heavenly Sword level with a Wipeout mashup that you can actually get for free if you're playing ranked online matches. But if you want to play it offline or in other player matches, then you can buy it for $1.99.
Cool,
it's a deal.
No? All right, folks, that's it. Hope you enjoyed this episode muchly. Quick request: if you like the show, I don't often ask this, but if you like the show, tell somebody. Because we have an awesome group of subscribers who obviously we have a core that has like listens to us religiously and we really, really appreciate it. But we'd lovely to be having some new folks listening to the show.
Write an iTunes review.
And yeah, writing an iTunes review. If you like the show, writing an iTunes review would be awesome. And if you don't like the show, write me because I will cry and then I'll figure out how to hopefully make it better. Because I do. I know I take it all too far seriously.
Maybe you can make a vine of you crying.
That'd be great.
I might.
Or I could.
You all know I take it far too seriously. But seriously, I would love for you to help us out because it would be great to have some more listeners and have a successful show and be able to keep bringing you the show to it week in and week out. And we've got to make it till next fall so that we can get back on Jeff's train to hopefully bring the 49ers a new Super Bowl.
Yeah,
aww.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff.
You're a believer, and that's funny.
I'm sorry.
Now there's a vine of me crying.
Catch up with Nicole Z at her blog. Also hosting the Shaq News Daily 3 or 4 times a week.
It's
anything
true.
Else that we should watch where you're from?
Stalk me from my bedroom window.
From
a legal distance.
Wow.
Yeah.
They want to see that stuffed dragon-y thing.
Dragon Knight. Oh my God, have some respect.
You know, a room was offered to you at ShaqCon.
What?
Yeah, just see the show thread. Someone offered you a room at ShaqCon.
Oh, we'll talk.
All right, Ariel, of course, working at Sony. You can check out PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale with new DLC. It's available for free if you have the game already, and a new level that you can get for free if you're in multiplayer, or $1.99 for single player. Jeff Cannata headed off to Barcelona to cover mobile phones for Always on CNET, which you can catch there on CNET.com. And I don't know. I have nothing to tell you about other than just that's it, folks. Thanks very much.
Happy
Valentine's Day. That's your Weekends Confirmed. Until next week, we're Ghost. Work so hard that you know we play harder. Work so hard that you know we play harder. For me to see what was going down, my body's vibrating, pulsating to the sound. Hey, bartender, hear me with another round. I gotta finish, she's ready. This episode of Weekend Confirmed is brought to you by the Gamefly app, the must-have app for gamers, with info on over 50,000 console, handheld, iOS, and PC games. Get the Gamefly app for free today on your iPhone, iPad, and Android devices.